So here we go, guys. Two men enter, one man leaves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Damn it! I have got a serious case of the Mondays.
The city isn't what it used to be. It all happened so fast. Everything went to crap. It's like everyone's sense of morals just disappeared. Bad economy made things worse. The jobs started drying up. Then the stores had to shut down. Then a black man was elected president. He was supposed to change things. He didn't.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Just the whole Muslim thing and everything. I mean, everybody's still kind of... A lot of people forgot about 9/11, but I don't know. It's just kind of a little unnerving.
And now...
Attention, everyone! All menstruating women go home immediately!
Our feature presentation.
All I know is before Kevin interviewed Liam Neeson, I thought he was just the interview killer.
We were all so happy you were on vacation while that was all going down.
Because we said, week I've been waiting for that, sitting on that. It's just been eating me up inside.
At least we'll avoid the tasteless comedy regarding the unfortunate tragedy was Natasha Richardson's death.
Oh, my God. I almost didn't do it. I almost didn't do it. I thought, is this in bad taste? But you know what? I went for it. I went for it, and I am so glad I did. Oh, worth it. Totally worth it.
Hey, party people. What's going on?
Hi,
what's up with you? How was your vacation?
Yeah. Couldn't have been worse. Well, I mean, it could have been
what
worse.
What a surprise. What a surprise. You come back
like
all gloomy and unhappy.
Look, Ralph, you've had the vacations where you can't go anywhere for various reasons. You can't do anything. It's just all you do is errands and chores and catch up and doctor's appointments and just crappy stuff like that. You don't have any fun on a vacation like that.
I do because I'm not working.
Yeah, you get to sleep.
And I'm sleeping, which is good.
Yeah, that helped. But I mean, any week that involves, you know, get your septic tank pumped and a dentist appointment, those are just not the things that you look back on and go, wow, sure wish I could have had more of those days.
I guess I'm glad I don't have a septic tank.
Yeah. Aren't we all? But you would have to do those things anyway. It would happen.
Yes.
But you would have to work on top of doing all those
exactly.
things.
Exactly. And that's why I stayed busy.
It's better not to have to work and get those things done.
I agree. Look, don't get me wrong. I didn't miss the work. I was happy to not be working. That was the bright spot of the vacation. Of course, that's the best part about being on vacation is you're not working. But I wish I could have come back and said, you know, had a great time, went lots of fun places and did lots of exciting
things. But you wouldn't do that anyway. You don't go anywhere fun or do anything exciting.
Sometimes I do.
No,
sometimes
you don't.
I go places, but I didn't this time. But here's what's funny about our job. And you've all experienced this because when you're gone, of course, the show goes on. And in my case, it goes on, you know, better and happier than ever before.
Right,
now.
Right.
But you get bits and pieces. You know, you'll see something in an email or somebody will tell you something they heard. And you really don't know what's going on because you don't listen. And like, for instance, were you wearing panties and drunk on St. Patrick's Day, Ralph? Did that happen? I mean.
Wasn't wearing panties. No. Just drunk.
A lot of talk discussion about you wearing panties on that day,
that's
what I was confused by.
We discussed my having worn woman's panties on that day, yes, mm-hmm. but I wasn't wearing them actually that day of. Listen, man, if you're not going to listen to the show, don't come back and start asking for clarity on what was going on last week. That's Lisa, last week, man. That's history.
Why was Ralph wearing panties?
Listen, we do podcasts.
Yeah.
Why don't you go there?
Why don't you go tune it in? Catch up, man.
Wow. It's an amusing story best told by Ralph the way he told it last week.
Brand new
in
show.
Our podcast.
We got former interns stripping. We got Donald Trump. We got another world tour to give away. It's
That's
a brand
right.
new day, man. Come on.
Catch
All
up.
Right, well, Breakfast in America.
So no help to fill me in for last week. If I missed it, it's my loss.
Exactly. There are ways to catch up.
It boils down to I was in an emergency situation at the gym, and I needed something to support my nads. And so the only store I could find was a 24-hour CVS at 4 o'clock in the morning on my way to work one morning, and the only underwear they sold was women's underwear, so I had to buy panties rather than have my pendulous testicles banging against my thighs while I was skipping rope at the boxing gym.
It is interesting. It is interesting that guys never have rarely, I guess you've just proven my point is wrong, but they don't even sell men's underwear at places like that because guys rarely have underwear emergencies like women do. But women
exactly.
got to be able to buy them everywhere, right?
I think so, yeah. They should have vending machines for women just in case, you know. That time.
Yeah. All right, and one more question about last week, and then we'll move on to the all-new, all-great Kevin and Bean Monday show. And that is, did you and Kevin really have to spend an hour talking about baseball with Tommy Lasorda?
We sure did.
You know what, though? Not really.
That's true. With Tommy, you
talked a lot about war.
God, country, war.
His dad.
The Boy Scouts.
Jane Biondi.
Hi to Jane Biondi, by the way, if he's listening this morning.
Whoever the hell that is.
Jane Biondi.
Was he a fascinating guy?
I'll tell you, Tommy is like your favorite granddad or uncle or something. Just one of those guys. Just could not be warmer and more charming. And we had a great time with him last week when he sat in. It was really fun to hang out with him.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that. I mean, I would have enjoyed that as well, but I guess I'll check out the podcast. All right, we're going to take your calls on any topic for the Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Here's how it works, if I remember correctly. 1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number. Today, by the way, is Monday, and it's the 23rd of March.
Yo, buck ain't made for that!
1-800-520-
Hold on. The 23rd of what?
Isn't it March of Kabam
Pow? It's not like that. It's not.
That's not even close.
If you're going to do it, you know, commit a little bit. Have a little.
Every year we go through this, I'm not the guy to pull off March. Would you prefer Lisa does it this week?
I'd prefer you try.
Come on, you can do better.
Give a little effort.
That's the best I can do.
No, it's not. That is a lie.
I've heard you do better.
You lie, you lying liar.
It's 23rd of March.
Whip it real good.
Okay, let's get into some phone calls for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew, shall we?
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Sometimes you're on the couch and you got a blanket on, and what happens, guys? It starts slipping and sliding. Am I right about that?
The worst.
You could die.
Hands get all trapped inside, and you can die, and then they find you like months later, like under that blanket on your couch because you haven't been able to get out to eat or anything. Well, those days are behind you because you're going to win your very own Snuggie for giving us a call right now. For Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. And we'll start with Anthony in Baldwin Park. Hey, Anthony, first call of a new week. Make it good, man. Get us off in the right direction.
Hey, what it do, nephew? How you do, baby boo?
How you do?
I've got tickets to tonight's championship game of the World Baseball Classic, but I can't give away because the American baseball team sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm just pissed off.
Wow.
They lost to Japan.
I did not follow it over the weekend. What happened? We lost? America lost?
Yeah.
Yes. It's Japan and Korea, I think, tonight.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Japan and Korea. And really, I got these tickets like a month ago.
So, Anthony, you don't care about watching good baseball. You just wanted to watch Americans.
That's really what it was. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and if you listen to Tommy Lasorda last week, he said that's the way it should be. Because we invented the game and we gave it to them.
Very patriotic.
We'd be better than them.
Dude, you could. Mike, is that game sold out tonight?
I don't think so.
Oh, I was going to say maybe he could sell them on Craigslist or something like that, but there's still tickets available.
I'm sure he could sell them or go to the stadium and scalp them at the last second, but I don't think it's sold out.
Or put them on Craigslist.
That's right. That's where people want to go to this game will be.
Yeah.
Very good, Anthony. Thanks for
it's going to be a bananas environment because
I'm sorry.
It's gonna
Tommy
be
Lee, what's it going
to
be?
Both the Jap. I went to the Friday's game with Korea and Venezuela, and the Asian fans are insane. They're bonkers.
They love their baseball.
They bring their own like stuff to get together, they have their chants. It's like a college basketball game or a European soccer game. They're nonstop chanting, and they have their own cheers. It's pretty awesome. And there's a ton of hot poontang.
Yeah.
And hot dog
takes on a whole new meaning.
No.
Hey, did Tommy check your transmission while he was here? You could take him out of the parking lot.
I did.
Your car?
I asked him, what does this mean when this engine light goes on?
He checked Lisa's oil. I don't know.
I bet he did. All right, let's try Eddie in Cyprus on line 2 this morning. Hey, Eddie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, guys? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, did anyone catch March Madness this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Saw a lot of it.
God, it was awesome. Fairly happy the Pac-10 went 5-1 in round 1, but round 2, what the hell?
Yeah,
USC,
struggled.
Come on.
USC, UCLA, Arizona State, everybody, yeah. My Washington Huskies, they're out.
Yeah, Arizona's the only one representing. I'm really bummed about USC. They almost pulled that one out, but
yep.
I guess now I have another team to root for because I'm an SC fan.
Yeah, there were some great games. I mean, that that guy who screwed up for Marquette. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
He had like an inch of his tennis shoe was in bounds as he was throwing the ball back in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's it like for that guy when he gets back to campus?
Oh, he's probably going to have a dartboard behind his head or something, some big old X.
I was thinking, you know, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Eddie. We had talked about Dave doing a redo on watching television, going after the Guinness record to most consecutive hours awake watching TV. And I was thinking, this weekend would have been perfect for him because I'm sure he was up 24/7 watching basketball anyway.
I don't know. We almost lost Dave this week. So
yeah.
What do you mean?
He may not have been. He wasn't well. He wasn't well the end of last week.
Thursday night, Alex and I both started getting these calls and texts from Dave saying, I feel dehydrated. I don't know what to drink. I don't know what to eat. Oh, and then another one would come 10 minutes later. I've been vomiting. Oh, I can't move. I'm pasted to my bathroom floor.
I'm shaking.
Someone help me. I can't get up.
My feet are all bonkers.
My eyes are crispy.
My ears are sweating. Help me.
And then
what do I drink?
Next thing we know, he didn't show up to work on Friday. So.
Yeah, so we thought we lost him.
That's not like him at all.
No.
Is he back? Have we laid eyes on him today?
He's back this morning. Looks a little worse for wear, but I think he's on the other side of it. So,
all right, let's take one more. It's going to be our friend Elizabeth. I'm sorry, Mike, I can't read this. What city is she in?
Glendale!
Hey, Liz, what'd it do?
Hey, Liz May.
Good morning.
Hi. Okay, so you know how Blockbuster has like these $3.99 movies and stuff in their bins?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I took one on, you know, but actually both of them have turned out pretty good. The first one was Waitress with Nathan Fillion.
Oh.
And the second one...
Is that about the girl who makes pies?
Yeah.
Is that one?
Right.
Yeah.
I love that
Carrie
movie.
Russell. That's a good movie.
And then I found the Jane Austen Book Club, you know, like, which you think is very... but it turns out Maggie Smith plays a girl who likes girls in the movie.
But she's really, really old.
Maggie Smith?
Not Maggie Smith. It's a girl that you had on from Chicken.
Maggie Grace?
Maggie Grace.
Oh,
that's better.
Oh,
that's better than Maggie Smith. That's
really different, too.
Yeah, Maggie Smith's an old British broad.
Like 90,
who wouldn't want to see make out with another chick. But if Maggie Grace is a lesbian, then I'm on board.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie, so it was pretty good.
Yep.
Well, good.
All right, well, there's your $3.99 movie update.
Emily Blunt in it, too.
And she's great. Love Emily Blunt.
All right. Sweet. I'll check that out. Okay.
How detailed are these lesbian scenes? I mean, like, is it pretty graphic?
There's one bathtub scene.
Yeah, that's enough to get me there.
Yeah.
For $3.99.
It's worth $3.99. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Good call, Elizabeth. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Big show today. Ralph mentioned we got details and the announcement on destination number 7 of K-Rock's World Tour 2009. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning.
Barcelona! That's my guess.
I don't think it's going to be Barcelona again today. Yeah. We'll check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, find out what the celebs were doing, who they beat up, who they killed over the weekend. Apparently, and I guess this broke last week also, and we'll spend a little bit more time on it today, you guys somehow got a hold of some raw tape of Kevin Federline in the studio. Is that true?
Wait till you hear Kevin Federline in the studio cutting some ringtones. I guess he had some deal with somebody where you could download Kevin Federline ringtones for your any device for your BlackBerry or your Tweeter or your Twitter or Tutor. And he is magical. We've got raw tape of him laying those down and struggling just to say you've got mail, just things like that. He just can't get out.
Who's the market for Kevin Federline ringtones?
I'm guessing he's just so desperate for any sort of income that he put it up on his own website, I guess, or something where you would pay a fee and download some ringtone if you wanted. It doesn't cost him anything to put him out there, I guess.
So. By the way, right here is his market. I'd get Kevin Federline ringtones in a second, and I'd ring back tone so that when you call me, it's like, hey, yo, it's K-Fed.
Yeah. Wait till you hear his ring back, especially, is spectacular. I think we'll talk to Federlisi, too.
I think so.
Oh, good. Last night was also part one of what looks like a two-part Dennis Rodman meltdown on The Celebrity Apprentice, and we'll get an update from our friend Donald Trump on that, and here's some tape from last night's show. He is unbelievable. That's a guy who's got 60 years after he played basketball to just stumble through life and not be able to accomplish anything on his own.
I don't know why he even said he'd do the show, because he doesn't want to be there, doesn't want to work with anybody, just could care less.
Right. And one of my very favorite people on television is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Comedian Bill Maher is going to be here, the host of Real Time on HBO, which is a great, great show. And he's got an upcoming date at the Gibson. That's coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. And maybe the best hockey announcer ever from the Florida Panthers, Randy Moeller, is going to be here. He has revolutionized the sport with the calls he makes after a goal.
Ding! Tries are done! Ding! Tries are done!
He's unbelievable. So we'll talk to Randy coming up. And Ralph, of course, has all the showbiz beat. And we'll hear the first of those coming up next, right after this, on the world famous...
Have you seen Kevin anywhere?
He's not here.
What do you mean he's not here? He's team manager. He has to be.
I know, right?
Can you imagine a worse vacation for Kevin? Forget me. His wife is making him go to Graceland this week.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy.
We were talking about that last week. That he hates Elvis, and he hates so many things about Graceland and the people that are there, right?
Yeah.
He hates everything about it.
He's going to say, it was old and cheesy.
Yeah.
I'll say, well, the guy died in 77, so kind of stopped decorating at that point.
He hates the 70s, so that's what he's going to see when he goes there. Yeah. So.
That's pretty funny.
Poor guy.
His vacation might actually be worse than Beans. When you think about it.
I don't know. That septic tank sounds like a Trump.
5:53 on the Kevin Amin Show. It's Monday morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz beat. What the hell's going on?
As we do every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Knowing Nick Cage. We talked to Nicolas Cage last week about this film. He seemed very excited about it, and I guess a lot of moviegoers were, too. It made almost $25 million, making it number one by far.
I would not have guessed that would have been the number one movie.
Sci-fi and fantasy just rules the world now, Lisa.
I guess.
What's the word on this? About 1 in 10 Nick Cage movies is good. Is this that one?
This one seems to fall somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Okay. I had friends, I didn't catch it this weekend, but I had a friend who went, who said he enjoyed it. It's kind of like a fun, mindless sort of sci-fi thing. You go along for the ride, but critics have not been kind to it. So take it for what it's worth. I Love You, Man came in at number 2 this weekend with $18 million. Then Duplicity came in.
I saw that.
$14.4 million. What'd you think, Lisa?
I loved it.
I knew you were looking forward to it.
Yeah. I was not at all disappointed.
I didn't get a chance to catch it, but I probably will sometime this week. Race to Witch Mountain. Still doing well. Witch Mountain? That mountain. Watchmen dropped to 5th this weekend with only $6.7 million. The Last House on the Left, Taken, Slumdog Millionaire, Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail, and Coraline, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Love is in the air for celebrities. Congratulations to Bruce Willis. He took his second walk down the aisle Saturday at his home in the Caribbean. Apparently married his 30-year-old model girlfriend, Emma Heming.
Nice.
Dude, yeah.
Come on.
Bruce is 54. His new wife is just 10 years older than his oldest daughter.
Oh.
Strong.
Ideal. I'm surprised he got married again, to tell you the truth. Because he's just been going through an endless string of models ever since he got single again.
That might get tiresome different. At some point.
This one's different.
Okay.
Because she's Emma Heming. And her name's an anagram or something. apparently it was a star-studded event. Demi Moore was there, of course, because they had the creepiest divorce in Hollywood. It's weird how close and happy they still are.
I think they're still doing it, to tell you the truth.
Very strange. Ashton Kutcher, her husband, was there. Madonna was a celebrity guest as well. And apparently they're coming back to the States to do another big wedding sometime later this year here in California, too. So congratulations, Bruce. Natasha
Happy
Bedding-
New Year.
Happy New Year. Exactly. Natasha Bedingfield also got married. She said, I do, to her fiancé, Matt Robinson, in Malibu this
Matt
weekend.
Matt Robinson.
Danica McKellar. Remember her from The Wonder Years?
Absolutely.
Played Winnie on that show?
Oh, yeah.
She got married this weekend as well to her boyfriend, Mike Verta, who's a musical composer, apparently. Happened in La Jolla, California. And Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart are engaged. Apparently, Harrison finally proposed to Calista Flockhart after being together for 7 years.
Wow.
At least she thinks he did. She wasn't really sure. She said, so she took that as an engagement. Who can blame her? Who can blame her? Oh, you know what? But when God opens a door, he closes a window. And apparently Amy Winehouse now thinks that she may not be able to rekindle her relationship with her husband, Blake Fielder Civil.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Really?
They had everything going for them.
Over the weekend, Lisa, she put on her Facebook page, I don't think I'll see him again.
No.
Sad. That's kind of sad, isn't it?
It is.
No, not really. And Lindsay Lohan's in the news. Just because Lindsay doesn't really work as an actress anymore.
Or a singer.
Or as a singer. Just because she doesn't seem to have any visible means of income,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean she can't treat herself every once in a while. Lindsay was seen tooling around this weekend in her new ride a white Maserati that is estimated to be worth over $100,000.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, I'm glad she's doing something for her. Finally, some me time for Lindsay.
Why is she allowed to drive, by the way? Shouldn't she have a less expensive car and put the rest of it into a salary for somebody to drive her?
Yeah. She should buy, like, an old Civic and just strap inner tubes to it all around, I think. That's what she should
do. A Nerf car.
A Nerf car would be a good idea. And Hugh Laurie's on Letterman tonight. Oh,
awesome.
Feel better.
Yuck.
We may be getting some insight into the rumors about House. House also airs tonight on Fox. I think it's a rerun, though, so don't knock yourself out. But apparently one of the major characters on House will be killed off this season.
Ooh, I hope it's Cuddy.
And everyone is talking. Why?
Whoa,
why would you want Cuddy to die?
Because she's a weirdo. I don't like her character at all.
Oh, wrong, sir.
I don't.
I don't like her new haircut.
At all make up for it that she has one of the greatest asses in Hollywood?
She's got a banging body. She really does. But
she
talks
banging
and
Prince?
On the show a lot.
Does she have a banging body, Prince?
She does. She does.
Apparently rumors are flying around about who it will be. E! Online says, as far as they can glean from their sources, it is not the most likely candidate. Which I thought immediately was 13 because she's got the Parkinson's or the Huntington's.
You never
or
get that disease
the Barringtons,
right.
The Warringtons, whatever she's got. It is not someone who has been rumored to be leaving. Hmm. So I think that leaves out the original team of Spencer and Heidi and everyone else.
Cameron and Chase.
Yeah, Cameron and Chase.
So one of the new doctors, but not.
It would make sense that one of Cameron and Chase would go because they're working so hard to try to still keep them on the show. They don't really have plot lines for them anymore.
Right.
But.
And it was to someone who will shock you. Also, how it happens will take you completely by surprise, say insiders over at Fox.
So, unless you're reading this article. You'll see it coming.
And then you will know. So, oh, that person's going to die. So Hugh Laurie on
Letterman
tonight.
It's okay. House. He's going to get killed off.
They're going to kill off House? That would be a surprise. The show becomes Cuddy, MD. She just runs around not solving medical mysteries. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rick Ocasek, longtime lead singer for The Cars, also a very successful producer in his own right. He is 60 years old today. Chaka Khan. She's 56 years old today. Carrie Russell of Felicity. We were just talking about her.
And Waitress.
Her. And her feature film Waitress. She is 33 years old today. And Richard Grieco.
Yeah!
The man that Psycho Mike has patterned in his entire life after celebrates his 44th birthday today.
Greeks!
So maybe we'll check in with Richard Grieco later today.
I wish.
Mike now has a better career than Richard Grieco does.
That is sad but true. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. The best hockey announcer ever from your Florida Panthers, Randy Moeller, joins us. Also, actor-comedian Bill Maher will be on the show today. And details on destination number 7 of K-Rock's World Tour 2009. So, what was this? One of these brown paper bags, Ralph, that just showed up at the back door? Where did this K-Fed tape come from?
You know who actually got a handle on it was our old friend Money. Money and Petros over on their show. This was literally delivered in a plain brown wrapper. Someone said, I've got access to the raw tape of Kevin Federline recording ringtones.
Oh.
And didn't identify himself, just gave it over to him. So we had Money in last week to talk about the NCAA tournament for basketball. And he gave this tape to us as a little gift. It's spectacular.
Yes.
I don't know why anyone would want a K-Fed ringtone, but here's what it would sound like. Here's one version of what he recorded for your phone.
Yo. This is Kevin Federline. What, do you got nothing better to do but to call this person? Maybe this person is busy. You trying to waste other people's time? Maybe they're a hard-working person. I don't know. But why are you calling? Don't make no sense to me. I think you should just holler at your damn self and go on about your day.
Does it sound like he's just riffing?
He's That's
just
exactly what he's doing.
As he goes along.
The more you listen to it, the more you realize he has no idea what he's saying here. He's just
no script,
improv-ing.
Nothing. Well, let's find out what's going on with the former Mr. Britney Spears. Kevin Federline joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, K-Fed.
Yo, you've called K-Fed.
Yes, we have.
He's on the phone.
Right, we're talking to you right now.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
K-Fed, answer the primary question first, which is, what's the market for a K-Fed ringtone? At this point in 2009, who wants you on their phone?
The market, dog. Is big players, hustlers, ballers that are out of control. You know what I'm saying? Craziness. You know, it's just like if you wanna pimp out your phone,
mm-hmm.
or your Black Beezy,
right.
or your Ifeezy,
right.
or your Sidekeezy.
Okay, we get it.
You know
we get it. Whatever you
Anything
communicate
you want.
With.
You yes. know what I'm saying? It's just like when you bedazzle it or you put up some of them. That, like, Gucci print case on your BlackBerry. It's anything you want to, like, step it up, make it look a little bit more custom, a little bit more, you know, proper. Like, you got to add the ringtone and the ring back tone, okay. you know?
But K-Fed, at this point, don't you get the sense that I do, that anyone who would do this would be as a joke to mock you? Nobody's doing it because they think you're cool.
Whatever. Paparazzi on my back. I'm America's most hated. Whatever. You know
what
I'm saying? They could be hating, but either way they're talking about me. It's like when I'm on the front page of the L.A. Times.
You were never on the front page of the L.A. Times.
Sure I was, dog.
Not one time.
Again,
not one time.
Right now, you're hating. You know what I'm saying?
No, like
when
I think
I
we're
was
just fact-checking.
CNN, you know what I'm saying? When they put me on CNN, they put me on Black.
They don't help you on CNN.
It doesn't
that
matter what
happen.
The story is, dog. It's the fact that I'm there. It's that I'm on the public consciousness. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, listen, let me play some more of this this tape of you in the studio, and maybe we'll get an idea of where you're coming from.
It's Kevin Federline. Pick up your phone. Pick it up.
Yo, you got a text message, dude. You heard me? I said you got a text message, dude. This is Kevin.
Yeah.
K-Fed, a.k.a. Mr. Federline. You have a new voicemail.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is terrible, K-Fed. This is awful.
Dog, it sounds so fresh. You know, I'm
no,
lucky
it
they
doesn't.
I'm lucky they allowed me the creative capacity, the artistic. They were open-minded enough to allow me to just, like, riff off the top of my head. You know, they didn't give me no script, so everything came out real proper. I was just kicking science, you know?
But you're saying it as if there were producers involved or people who have a vested interest in this. It's just you and a microphone putting it up on your own website, right? It's not like you're getting paid to do this or you got a sponsor or anything, right?
Dog, it's like, look, I mean, I went with my media team and we analyzed the market and we realized, you know, like the synergistic media conglomerate. You know what I'm saying? With like a multi-tiered approach.
I know what you're saying. Do you know what you're saying?
They always seem to have the most success out there. And frankly, I love technology. I love electronics. I love, like, the cutting edge of what's pushing the envelope, you know what I'm saying, and the electronics world. So I want to make sure that I'm all out there, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be there for you. You want K-Fed screensavers? Boom. You want your own custom K-Fed external drive? Boom. You know what I'm saying? It's like I feel like
wait.
Technology is the key to the future. So I'm going to be there. K-Fed's going to be on top of it. K-Feezy's going to be the one you see in the fizz-user.
So wait, in the where?
In the fizz-user.
So you're going to put the G in technology is what you're telling
me. Word. Damn, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Didn't you used to try to record music instead of ringtones? Wasn't there a time when you spent your time in the studio actually rapping or
funny you should say that,
making
dog.
Music instead of just saying, hey, you've got a new voicemail?
It's funny you should say that, dog, because like always, every time I talk to you, you know what I'm saying? My art, it represents what's going on in my life. You know what I'm saying? It perfectly mirrors what's going on in K-Fed's life. And so I sent over my new song. You know, I mean, it's not like fully mastered yet. It's not ready to be put on wax. But I sent over to you my newest song about technology.
About technology.
Yeah. And in fact, my newest piece of technological advancement that I got was the auto-tune. I called up T-Pain. I was like, "Be on my track, dog." And look, it was he. Well, he said no.
No, right?
But
wisely,
I called his brother-in-law Z Discomfort,
oh,
and he came
man.
In the studio with me and Black the Ripper and Dark Gable and mm-hmm. Omar Khan, and we laid down.
Oh, wait! You're working with Omar Khan now?
Oh yeah, dog. He's hot. He's hot, man. He does great production. And
Omar.
We went to the chocolate factory, and this is what we came up with. This is called the technology.
I never thought a poor boy from Fresno could be having so much electronic stuff. Oh yeah, K-Fed's got a lot of electronics. It's all over his house and car. K-Fed, electronic. Call him the technology.
If it takes batteries, bitch, I own it. The stereo up in my crib has got 400 components. An automatic toilet to wipe up my dookie. Remote controlled condoms keep me safe from dirty booty. Electric turkey carver to cut up all my crack. I didn't buy a flat screen, I bought a 24 pack. Took them to my crib and put them on the wall. I smoked a lot of weed and then I watched basketball. Yeah.
that likes weed and electronic stuff. I don't believe he even knows how to use half the stuff that he owns, but it's a lot of stuff either way.
It's a lot of stuff.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
There's a lot of stuff.
This might be an excessive amount of electronic stuff. Oh, yeah.
Right.
I got them ringtones for your cell phone. The satellites be paging me from the ozone. Sending K-Fed's phone bill sky high. My living room looks like a Japanese Best Buy. K-Fed's favorite thing is chronic, but his second favorite thing's electronics.
All right.
He got a lot of electronic stuff.
We've heard of that one.
I fear I'm not getting my point across.
No, you got it.
He's got a lot of electronic stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If he had a reasonable amount of electronic stuff, it probably wouldn't justify writing a whole song about it.
Right.
If you think about it that way, oh, yeah.
Okay.
He even has a car phone. Who has a car phone nowadays?
Wow.
Since the technology in cell phones has gotten so good, no one uses a car phone,
that's
but
true.
He has one. Because it is electronic.
Uh-huh.
And he loves electronic
stuff. Got a
lot of
electronics.
Much. Are you getting the point?
Yeah. Not a small number of electronics. Right.
It's a big load of electronic stuff.
Yeah. Listen, Kayfair, we got to go. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Good luck with the project. We'll talk to you again, all right?
Got a lot of electronics.
Yeah.
These are just some of the things that they talk about, huh? Just like being America's most hated,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting chased by paparazzi every day.
No, you're
I don't
not.
Know that K-Fed is America's most hated any longer. I think we may have forgotten about him pretty much, except on this show.
He's America's most ignored.
Yeah.
That's what he is. That's exactly. All right, 6:22. It is Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our weekly checkup with TMZ.com and our friend Harvey Levitt on the phone right now. Good morning, Harvey. How was your weekend?
It was good, guys. You know, I don't know. I mean, he's bowling. He bowls every Thursday, Kevin.
Does he?
And bowling is now in the news again because of Obama, so he is kind of relevant.
He is. He's cutting edge.
He's cutting edge.
Is he bowling about a 129 higher or lower? Do you know, Herbie?
I don't know. Something tells me he does better than 129, but that may be his girlfriend, so I'm not sure.
Harvey, refresh my memory, because I know Barack Obama made the headlines in the Tonight Show interview on Thursday where he made the reference about he bowls like a Special Olympian. Was it TMZ that went out and found the Special Olympics bowler who bowled all those 300 games?
Of course it was.
Sure.
And we found him fast, and he was great. I mean, he bags groceries in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I talked to him on the phone, and he was great. And he said, you know, bring it on, Obama. Invite me to the White House, and we'll have a bowl off.
That's funny.
And would that be awesome or what?
No.
It would be so awesome. The president would totally do that, would so lose, too. All right. It's
right. The guy bowls. His average is something like 260.
Wow.
And he's bowled three perfect games, right?
Three perfect games.
That's nuts.
I know.
Look, it would be great to bowl like that, but it wouldn't be worth being retarded for, would it? I don't think so.
I'm sorry.
All right, buddy. Let's talk about a couple of things going on the site today. I was very excited to find out that you dug deep and found out what MIA really did name her baby and how crazy it was, the rumors that had been floating around before that about what the name was going to be.
Well, it's great because she's saying, you know, that this is ridiculous, that who would name a baby Ickit?
Right.
I-C-K-I-T-T, and she's just, you know, going off on her blog saying this is insane.
Stop spreading those lies, Harvey.
Well, so then we found the act. Well, she was kind of right. It's Ickit. I-K-H-Y-D.
What?
Oh, well, that's very different.
We got the birth certificate.
What the hell is Ickit. That?
It's Ickit, not Ickit.
What do we know about that name? Is it just something she made up, or does it have some historical significance that I just don't get?
I do not know. They definitely didn't. They weren't particularly happy about it getting out for some reason. But I don't know. I don't know what the secret is. I mean, at some point, somebody's going to have to say, "Hey, you get over here," and they're going to have to, you know, actually call out the name of the kid.
Well, they can use his middle name, Edgar.
Right, Edgar Bronson.
Yeah, she's set him up for a fall.
I love that story. It's hilarious.
That's funny. Now, I was on vacation last week, Harvey, so I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but I want to make sure I understood
But can I stop you guys for just one second?
Yeah, sure, of course.
How refreshing was it that Charlie Sheen named the kids Bob and Max?
Oh, spectacular.
Yes.
It was nice.
You know?
Give them all the credit in the world. Yeah.
It's just like Ickid and Pony.
How hard is it to just get a normal name, really?
Get a normal name.
Yeah. Although
says,
I did
says Harvey.
Although, Harvey, I did mention that Max Sheen sounds like a car care product. Something
well, it
you,
does.
Yeah, sounds like a really nice Carnauba wax.
I wasn't here on the call with you last Monday, Harvey, but I want to make sure I understood correctly. Is that Howard K. Stern is in jail right now? Did that happen?
No. He went to jail. He was booked, but he's out right now. He's been charged with these two other docs. It's pretty serious stuff. I mean, this made big news.
What took so long? What took years for them to finally arrest somebody for giving Anna Nicole all those drugs?
I got to say, that's, you know, listen, we did more stories and broke more stories about this whole drug thing than anybody. So, I mean, we know what's going on with this thing. I mean, these doctors were writing her prescriptions for methadone 13 days before she gave birth under phony names. So, I mean, what they did was, you know, clearly, I think, you know, it was wrong, but... Mm-hmm. At a point, it's like the state is in bankruptcy almost, and they spent so much money on this investigation over almost 2 years, you're right. So I'm kind of like, you know, this just feels like political grandstanding on a level. And Jerry Brown gets out there. I mean, it's funny because, you know what, I really like Jerry Brown as mayor of Oakland, and as soon as he got on TV and started talking about Anna Nicole Smith, I remembered why I didn't like him when he was governor.
He just rubs you the wrong way.
Well, he rubs you the wrong way because it just feels like he's just, it's complete political opportunism.
Yeah. He's the Gloria Allred of politicians.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Okay, so you guys are going to be so mad at me.
What?
Well, I'm standing here. I almost feel like giving the phone over to Nicole because she booked this thing. And I got this live shot with Minneapolis, and I never would tell you that Minneapolis trumps L.A., but she's screaming at me to go to this camera and do this live shot.
Okay, go, Harvey.
That's fine.
We know you're busy. Problem.
Well, no, I mean, you should call her out. Her name's Nicole
Turtle. Totally fine. We appreciate the time, Harvey. We'll keep checking the website for everything new. TMZ.com, TMZ Television weeknights at 6:30. Say hi to Minneapolis for us.
It's good talking to you.
Okay.
See you, Harvey.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Kevin and Bean, Afro Line on the air at 323-520-AFRO. That's our answer machine we have set up. You can call anytime, 24 hours a day, leave a message. In fact, here's one listener who's awfully excited about our upcoming comedy concert.
Oh, my God, bitches. 2 weeks until April Foolishness. Yeah, I'm so excited. Woo!
Lisa, are you still getting emails as I am from people who are still convinced it's not real?
Yes, yes. Which amazes me. I mean, that would be the best trick ever, I guess, since we sold tickets.
But it wouldn't. But how often are there April Fool's gags that are played on April 3rd, though? I still don't know why people. I mean, I guess because the name is what's misleading them, perhaps.
Right, right.
It's actually going to happen. It's actually going to be on April 3rd at the Gibson. One of our favorite K-Rock DJs called in on the Afro Line this week.
Hey, it's Kat. I just got back from South by Southwest.
I can't wait to hear Kat today at 9 after a weekend in Austin.
She doesn't sound that good, I promise you.
I'm sure. I appreciate this K-Rock listener calling with some suggestions on some music that we can play here at K-Rock.
What's the most obnoxious song we can play here at K-Rock?
I know. Let's play Six on Fire again. Again, every hour on the hour.
No, there's got to be a more obnoxious song. What else can we play?
I got an idea. Let's play that one song by The Killers. Because I don't know if I'm a human or a goddamn dancer. What else can we play that's redundant? Something by the goddamn Foo Fighters!
We play what you want to hear. I got news for you. We don't play what we want. That's Jack. We play what you want to hear.
Right.
That's why you hear those songs. Maybe, I don't know, think about what your message is going to be before you dial up the Afro Line.
I got nothing.
All right.
Here's somebody calling, I think, about me being out last week.
Where the f*** is Bean?
Somebody calling about my love for numbers, and no, it's not Asperger's.
Hey, Bean, I just wanted to tell you I've been following a car that has license plate number B444448. Oh, I was so excited. I pulled over and it. I was so excited. F you, Bean. F you on your numbers. They suck. They're stupid. They're non-significant. Dumbass.
I'd like to see you try to get by at a world with no numbers, by the way, as you say that they suck and they're not significant. Why don't you try dialing up your mom on the phone and see how that goes without numbers, all right?
Oh, you served him, Bean.
Friday on the show, we had one of the most popular and famous people in the history of Los Angeles, and I'm talking about the great Uncle Tommy. Tommy Lasorda from your Los Angeles Dodgers was here, and I think the listeners just went crazy hearing Tommy on our show.
I don't know where you're from your manager. I don't know where you come from. I don't know if you're married or single. I don't know if you're good, mediocre, or bad. But I'm going to tell you something now. Let's do it together.
All right. Maybe he dozed off, but this guy was happy to hear Tommy.
No! You stupid sons of bitches. God damn it. Tommy Lasorda, seriously? Now the Dodgers are doomed for, like, eternity. You got, like, their infamous leader, and you're talking to him. Damn it! Why didn't he go on Jim Rome?
Well, there's no curse, by the way. I think we've proven that enough times the last couple of years that there is no curse. So don't look at us if the Dodgers suck.
Exactly.
Speaking of baseball, here's a fan of the WBC in town this weekend.
USA! 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 Florida?
Not so much for the Americans playing in the game tonight.
No.
And also, later in the show, we'll be talking to Randy Moeller, who is the play-by-play announcer for the Florida Panthers. He makes great hockey calls, and I think the listeners are starting to get into the spirit of that as well.
He shoots! He scores! What are you going to do? Spoon me to death? Hey, Lisa.
And another.
There's a scuffle in front of the crease. He shoots. He scores! I just love peanut butter and want talking about peanut butter with them, peanut butter.
That's why Mr. Moeller has the job at IDOT. 323-520-AFRO is the number. I'm watching this video at KROQ.com of beer mug wrapped up in bubble wrap.
How great is that?
It's the best.
You guys took a car battery out of somebody's car and hurled it at him and knocked him to the ground.
That would have been Mike. Yeah. Yes.
I think lightning ran into him on a on some sort of a moto scooter or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you hit him with a skateboard.
Yeah, just,
what's the gun that you pulled out that you started shooting at him with?
It was a paintball gun.
Mm-hmm. Repeatedly.
High-powered paintball gun, by the way.
Wow, good times. You got to check out that video at krock.com. Very entertaining. Is Mug still speaking with us, or was that the end of that relationship?
He loved every second of it.
Oh, he was giddy. Giddy as a schoolboy.
I bet he did. All right, it's 6:53 Monday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
As we do every Monday, we'll take a look at the top 10 box office winners.
Okay.
For the movies this weekend, Knowing was number one by far. Almost $25 million made it the number one movie at the box office this weekend. I'm more of a number one protector.
Yeah.
I Love You, Man debuted with the second place in the box office derby, $18 million this weekend. Duplicity came in at number three, also in its debut weekend. Race to which mountain? That mountain.
Yeah.
Never gets old. It was number four at the box office. Watchmen came in at number five, The Last House on the Left. Taken, Slumdog Millionaire, Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail, and Coraline. Rounding up your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
I know we mock Nicolas Cage, and he is awful in a lot of really bad movies, but boy, the guy can sell tickets, can't he?
He's also really good in a lot of good movies, too. I've never seen a performer with a wider range of good and bad performances before.
Yeah.
He really has to be the king of that, because usually there's some actors you can count on to be consistently good regardless of what movie they're in. And there's some you can count on to be horrible regardless of even how good the script may be, Keanu Reeves. And then you've got Nick Cage, who can be as great or as bad as anyone.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Wild. Yeah. Speaking of great, I don't know if anybody caught the series finale of Battlestar Galactica on Friday over there on Sci-Fi.
I was a couple episodes behind, so I still have it. I'm saving it all.
I was actually sad for like hours afterwards. Mm. I was like bummed out. Not only because the series was over, but because it was a real downer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a feel-good show, that Battlestar Galactica.
We may need to check in with Dewan, too, because I think he can really sum up the series and the recap.
Oh, really?
He's a big BSG fan.
Is he struggling
BSG
a little
fan.
Bit with the BSG?
I don't know. I mean, she sure loves to talk about it.
Didn't
so.
He ask you at one point, why are people in space?
Yeah.
Didn't he ask you that?
Yeah. It was really not be hard the show to explain him. To him. He said, but they're humans. They should be inert. Yeah. And I said, well, that's true.
Yeah, he may not grasp the whole sci-fi concept.
Now, I don't watch the show, Ralph, but it deals with the big issues of the extinction of humanity. I mean, basically, that's kind of what we were talking about, right?
It's humanity struggling to survive.
Yeah.
Yes. And the finale was on Friday night, as I mentioned. But good news for Mary McDonnell, who starred on The President on that show. She's already got a new gig. Just announced she will be joining The Closer over on TNT with Kira Sedgwick.
Oh, so, well, good.
The battle of the feminist icons over there on basic cable. So good for her. She's got a new gig.
Will the BSG spinoff make you feel better? Is that the good news that that's coming?
I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared of Caprica.
Yeah?
I've seen the coming attractions. They did like a little teaser trailer for it. And strikes me as sci-fi saying, well, we can't let this cash cow die.
Who's in it,
let's
anyone?
Do a prequel. Yeah, Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, Eric.
Oh,
is
he's great.
In it. As is Isai Morales, mm-hmm. also stars in it. Okay. The basic premise is what happened on the planet of Caprica that started humans to create the Cylons. It's the backstory of that, for those of you who know the show. So, I don't know. It could be good. It's the same producers and stuff, so I certainly will give them a benefit of the doubt. Because, really, Battlestar Galactica was the best, most ignored show ever on television. Really, ignored at Emmy time. I mean, the critics were kind to it, but it really was an exceptional TV program, and it's sad to see that go. Maybe Paris Hilton can make me feel better. Let me read this story to you. Paris Hilton says she's ready to be a mom.
Nope.com. Oh.
She has picked out a room in her Los Angeles mansion that will be a nursery, she claims.
Well, that's all you got to do.
She's starting to decorate it, Lisa. You know, that's what happens. Then the baby comes.
Nope.
Nesting.
Buy a crib. Next thing you know, baby.
Nope.
Comes right out.
Nope.
Apparently, she says she's also stockpiled some of her favorite old dresses to pass down to her daughter.
Oh.
So she's ready. She's got everything in place for a baby. She knows exactly what to do.
Disinfect those things first.
Oh, how dare you?
I cleaned at least.
How dare you? Pete Wentz is in the news.
Ooh.
Apparently, according to Star Magazine, Pete is worried that his wife, Ashley Simpson, will be spending all of her time with good-looking actors over there on Melrose Place. You know, she's part of the Melrose Place reboot that they're doing on the CW. And Pete apparently is concerned that she will be spending time with handsome young actors while he is out on the road and they're spending time apart, and he's concerned about the effect it will have on their relationship.
Yeah, he is totally gay.
Now, I'm not making this up. According to the Star Magazine story, Ashley is unhappy with his bitching about this. She's tired of him giving her a hard time, the story says, and wishes, and this is a quote, he'd just grow up, be a husband and a father, and stop wearing eyeliner.
Oh!
Ashley Simpson.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
And who thought that wouldn't work out, those relationships?
Gays! They're everywhere!
And lastly, just what I've been waiting for, I know something Psycho Mike has been looking forward to as well, the Pussycat Dolls Workout DVD.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Only men buy nothing.
Oh. Oh. Apparently, Robin Anton, the creative genius behind Pussycat Dolls, announces that, I always say, inside every woman is a pussycat doll. Yeah. If you peel away tons of flesh. So it's like all the questions everyone's ever asked about how to be a pussycat doll, this answers them. Apparently this is a workout where you get to do the choreography along with the pussycat dolls, who will do it in scantily dressed bodies on front of you.
Now, I know you probably don't know this, Ralph, so I'm not going to ask a bean question, but I just sure hope that this isn't a collection of, like, the ancillary pussycat dolls and just random horse.
No, sir. Mike, I do know the answer. It is Nicole.
Okay.
That's Scherzinger, all the lead singer.
That's all you need.
Melody. Ailey, Jessica, and Kimberly will be the ones performing.
So it's Nicole's front
and center. It! Yeah. I watched this DVD, actually. I got an advanced screener, and I have already lost 10 cc's just by watching it. That's how good it is. That's how good it is at helping you lose weight.
Kids, ask your parents. That was a very funny joke.
Today's celebrity birthdays are as follows. Rick Ocasek from The Cars is 60 years old today. Singer Chaka Khan is 56. I don't know much about Chaka Khan. I'm not a big fan of Chaka Khan. Mm-hmm. One of the great names in show business.
Yes.
Chaka Khan. Richard Grieco celebrates his 44th birthday. Yay! And one of our favorites, actress Kerry Russell from Felicity, is 33 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey! Do you mind if we dance with your dates?
Yeah.
From the Florida Panthers, Randy Moeller joins us in a half an hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show of the world famous Kirok. He really does have the best calls in all of hockey.
Look, kids, it's Big Ben.
Also, details on Destination Number 9 of the Kirok World Tour. Destination Number 7 of the Kirok World Tour 2009 coming up in about 15 minutes. First, though, you know, we've had a complaint on this show for a long time, and Ralph brings it up in the movie beat quite often, is sometimes there are movies that are based on a premise that is so outlandish that it's impossible to believe that somebody thought it was real enough to make a film about it. You know how there, every once in a while there'll be a movie and there'll be a guy whose job it is in the movie is to, you know, date some girl and be a horrible boyfriend so that her boyfriend will take it back.
Or Failure to Launch, where she gets hired by the parents to get him out of the house.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
that kind
not
of
a job.
BS. No.
That doesn't exist. There's no one in the world who is hired to do that.
Right.
And there's a movie almost at the top of the box office this week called I Love You, Man, that apparently is very, very funny. I will see it. I haven't had a chance to yet. And it also has such an unlikely premise that I can't believe that they made a movie about it. David King of Mexico is here. He saw the movie. You went to the world premiere with the stars last week.
Yeah,
right?
I did. Last Tuesday. Yeah.
And do I have this right from the commercial? The central idea of the movie is that the dude doesn't have any guy friends, so he doesn't have anyone to be his best man at his wedding.
Exactly. Yeah, he just always has a girlfriend, and all his friends are girls, and he's good with, you know, being friends with girls. And when it comes to guys, he's just awkward at it, and he doesn't know how to be a dude.
And that's something that they clearly just made up to make a movie, right? There can't be people like that. Do you know a single dude that doesn't have any friends that are guys?
Not really. I mean, everyone I know has, like, their buds and, you know, I hate to say it, their bros, but, you know, everyone has one.
And what's the guy's deal in the film? I mean, why does he have trouble making friends with guys?
Because he just likes everything that girls like, and he knows how to interact with them. So he's just like this cool, relaxing guy. And when it comes to guys, you know, being men, like, you know, liking sports and stuff, he doesn't get it. Like, he likes The Devil Wears Prada and, you know, and he likes to have dinners and drink wine and stuff.
Boy, that
like
was
that.
Really gay.
Well, you know, so there are guys who don't like sports, right?
Yeah.
So right there, that knocks you out
with
a lot of guys.
Yeah, but they also have friends. You know, they also, you know, hang out with their guy friends who also don't like sports.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't. He just knows how to, you know. He hangs out with the girls, and at work, everything, he hangs out with the girls.
Because let's face it, I mean, even if you're a guy who doesn't like sports, you have other interests. Maybe you're into art, or you're into, you know, golf, or you're into, you know, knitting. You're into something, but they're maybe not knitting, but I mean, there have to be other guys who are also, into whatever it is you're into. You're into horseback riding, whatever it is.
Exactly. You have a common interest with another dude, you know, and not this guy. He has no interest, and he doesn't know how to interact with guys.
I bet that's not. I mean, I don't think it's common, but I've known a couple of guys who didn't really have any guy friends that they hung out with. Like, they might have acquaintances, but they didn't ever hang out with them, like go out and drink or have dinner or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, there's guys out there who are mostly friends with girls.
Yeah.
Like,
and sometimes I think it's because, like, if you don't keep friends from college on, like, that's a lot of times where you develop a lot of your friendships. And then you get into work and you don't meet anybody there that you can hang with. And then you get married. And sometimes there just aren't opportunities, I think, to make new guy friends.
I will say, I mean, I wouldn't have any friends if I didn't still have the same friends that I've had since kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I moved away today to somewhere far, far away and had to remake friends, I wouldn't have any because I'm just not a social person and I don't really wouldn't go out of my way to develop relationships.
But I don't think that's true, Mike. And by the way, we are going to take your calls. We're opening up the lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. In particular, if you're the type of person that we're talking about who is a guy who doesn't really have any guy friends, and you're not – and I guess that's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. You're a guy and you don't have any guy friends.
It's not that he only doesn't have guy friends. He doesn't know how to act around guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You know, so like, you know, his gay brother had to – you know, give him tips on how to act. Yeah, how to be around guys, you know. He doesn't know how to speak the guy language,
right.
You know. He doesn't have guys' interests, so.
But let me address Mike's point, because Mike says if he moved away and had to start over, he doesn't think he'd have any guy friends. Or you don't think he'd have any friends at all, I guess. But I don't think that's true, Mike, because, I mean, you would meet guys at the gym, for instance. You would meet guys that you worked out with that you would probably do stuff
with. But are you friends with anyone that you work out with, really?
I am, but again, these are guys that I've been friends with for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, I've been lucky enough to maintain friendships with all my friends that I've grown up with. But and Bean may be right. I mean, I guess I do have a lot of interests, so maybe I would just develop naturally relationships with people that I
you'd find someone else to go surfing with, or sure. someone else to do no, whatever else you're doing on your time.
That's a good point.
And I'm you know, I'm just like Mike in that I'm not a very social person. I don't have a lot of friends, but you know, the one interest I have is radio guys. As you guys know, I do have friends that are in radio. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I would know those guys anyway. We may not do guy things like you're thinking of, but
you have little radio lunches. We heard they're pretty gay,
and they're well attended. I don't know. It struck me when I saw the commercial. And I love both of those actors too, but it just struck me as how unlikely a scenario is it that a guy is old enough to be getting married and can't find one person to be his best man.
That's what I thought.
Just,
I'm sorry.
Seems weird, right?
That's what I thought too when I saw the trailer. But then I see the movie and I'm like, yep, this guy would not have any friends.
Yeah.
You know,
you know what? If you don't grow up with a brother too, I bet that could make a difference too. And just
maybe
learning how to be a guy.
Be a guy,
and
yeah.
And maybe there's no dad in the household.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting.
Well, let's see if we can find those guys who have no guy friends and see if they exist or they're just a creation of a screenwriter. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Andrew. He is in Paramount on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Andrew. Thanks for holding on. What's going on, dude?
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Good. Hi,
hey,
Andrew.
Hey.
You're the guy we're talking about, huh?
Yeah, you know what? And I'd like to say that it's probably more normal than you guys would like to admit because, you know, as you move from childhood into adulthood, you work more. And I so happen to have gotten married 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And some of my friends, they're not interested in the same things anymore, you know. I like playing video games and, I don't know, just you grow apart.
Yeah, it's got to be hard as a guy to find a guy to play video games with. That is pretty extreme. But, I mean, do you have a job?
Yeah, I'm a pool man full-time, 50 hours a week.
Oof. Oh, so you're kind of working by yourself. It's not even like you got an office or a bunch of people that you work around that you would kind of get to know, huh?
Yeah, I'm just driving, doing my thing, and then when I get home, I'm tired to give a crap. I don't want to go drink. I don't want to go to bars. I just want to enjoy my time off, you know?
Right.
Here's another thing, Andrew. Are you the type of guy, too, that would just prefer to play video games by yourself?
You know what? I have friends that I do play with on Xbox Live occasionally, but my hours are so whack that they play at different times. Okay. And, you know, we really don't get to meet up online anymore.
I bet that's a big thing, though, when you don't have a job where you're able to socialize with people.
You know what? I think the last time I played with a friend was about a week ago, but I just don't have time to be playing video games. I just want to get home and relax.
Yeah.
You know? And you don't miss it. There's nothing about having a guy friend that you miss.
Oh, yeah, I miss it. I cry every night, man.
All right. Good answer.
Poor sad
Thanks
Andrew.
For calling. Let's try Johnny in Costa Mesa on line 4, please. Hey, Johnny, we're talking about I Love You, Man, number 2 movie at the box office over the weekend. Do guys like this exist?
Hello?
Hi, Johnny.
Yeah. Hi, Johnny. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So,
I can see Johnny's problem right there. There's a phone. Something as basic as that is going to stand in the way of lots of things in life.
Johnny,
talk to us.
Sorry, I'm right here, guys.
All right.
Well, then, why don't you talk into the phone about what we're discussing?
Okay, I have no guy friends. I'm getting married in a couple months here, and I went through college. I kind of stuck with the books, and I ended up just getting my girlfriend's girlfriends.
Oh, okay. You are the guy in the movie.
Yeah, you are. That's
I am the exact guy. I literally have no guy friends. I have a few acquaintances at work, and that's it. Literally, that is it.
Why do you think you're so flimsy?
Oh, ouch. I don't know. I guess you could say I'm a sensitive guy.
Right. But
I'm starting to spin real fast because of gayness.
There's never a time where you got a guy friend and you go to a Dodger game and just hang out and be guys? Nothing like that ever happens in your life?
Not really. I mean, I have acquaintances through my girlfriend, guys that I hang out with, but I have no guy friends.
That's interesting. Lisa, let me ask you about that. If you were dating a guy whose only friends were your friends, wouldn't that be some sort of a red flag about him maybe not having enough of his own life?
You know, I did date a guy like that. And the way he explained it to me was he was in a job where he really couldn't associate with the people he worked with because they worked under him. And before we had met, he had been married. And there just wasn't really time to hang out with guys. And they were busy with kids and stuff. And it just kind of happened over time. So I didn't really see it like an inability to develop friends, just no opportunities.
I don't know. It's just women are so annoying. You have to get away from them sometimes, don't you? I mean, am I right about this, guys? I'm not making a joke, but at some point you just want to have to not deal with women BS.
You speak the truth, brother.
I know.
Well, it doesn't mean they don't go off and do their own thing sometimes. They're just, I mean, they're not with the girl all the time. They're just alone
right.
sometimes.
But sometimes, I just can't believe sometimes they wouldn't want to just have guy talk. You know what I mean? Just
well, I know I would hate it if I didn't have girls to go talk to. But guys don't talk like that, right? You guys don't really do what we do.
No, we don't. We definitely don't talk like girls talk.
Yeah.
But guys do have guy talk. I mean, there's definitely stuff that you enjoy, you know, the camaraderie and the bonding of talking to another male friend.
Yeah.
It's totally different than girl talk, I will say that. Having
it's always about
my wife
sports
and her friends
and banging
do it.
And other things, like manly things.
Manly
food,
things.
Beer.
Let's try one more before the break. It's going to be Jason and El Segundo, who sounds, again, exactly like the dude in the movie on line 7. Hey, Jason, you are also getting married, huh?
Yeah, actually, my wedding's this Sunday, guys.
Oh, wow.
This Sunday. And what'd you do about a best man?
Well, I actually had a best man and my brother, so that doesn't really count as a friend. But there's a guy at the Ask at work that I'd only known for a month who's in the same field as I am. And I had to kind of go to him and say, look, I know this is lame, and I know I don't know you that well, but I need someone to be one of my groomsmen at my wedding. And so he's going to be there, and he signed up for it, so it's not all bad. But, yeah, I mean, other than my brother, you know, I only had two friends who live far away who had to come in. But in L.A., no one really. I can't really connect with guys that well.
Isn't that weird? How long have you lived here?
Just about a year now.
Oh, well, that makes sense. It's not.
Yeah, that does make sense.
It takes time to develop friends, especially, I think, in this city. It really does.
But I can relate to what you guys were saying, where it's, you know, a lot, like even my brother, he talks about shooting guns and going and doing all these girls and stuff. And I just, it's not really the types of conversation I like to have. So it's hard for me to relate with guys like that. So
that
I hear
was incredibly gay.
This movie is, is true.
Yeah, I got you. All right, Jason. Hey, congratulations on the wedding this weekend, man. I hope it goes well for you.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really enjoy your show.
Okay,
hey, thanks very much. All right, let's do one more. And by the way, it's going to be Dave on line 3, please, in Thousand Oaks. Then when we come back, we'll have destination number 7 information for KROQ's World Tour 2009. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm not gay,
uh-huh.
but I have absolutely no guy friends, and it's 100% my wife's fault, you know?
He's angry.
I don't blame him. What's going on?
Well, the minute I got married, you know, I was perfect before we got married. Then I need a change. And, you know, the weeding starts happening with your friends and where you can go and what you can do and how much you can spend. You know, I feel like Al Bundy here. I'm the king of the He-Man Woman Haters Club, and I have no friends to prove it.
Well, Dave, first of all, big ups for the Al Bundy reference in 2009. That may be part of the problem. But you need to get yourself some guy friends, and then you need to pay him to kill your wife. That's clearly what needs to happen here.
Hey, I go out with a guy, and she thinks it's a girl, and then I got to hear in debt. You were out with a girl. Man, it's just like no win. You can't have no friends or nothing.
You don't need friends. You need a divorce.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Your best friend should be a divorce attorney, dude. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dave.
If you're single, do not get married. Do not let this happen to you. Your woman will control you. She will change you. You're not good enough.
Well, that's good advice.
She will weed your friends out. She will. You will have no friends left after 5 years. None.
All right, Dave. Good luck with that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous KROQ 106.7 KROQ. We got our recap with Donald Trump of last night's Celebrity Apprentice coming up after the news at 8, plus the Showbiz Beat on the way, and Randy Moeller from your Florida Panthers, the world's greatest hockey play-by-play announcer, on the way in about 10 minutes. So this year, like most years, we've been sending you all over the world. Recently, we've sent you to Israel. We sent you to Spain. We sent you to Norway. It's all part of KROQ's World Tour 2009. Time to announce destination number 7, and this one is a little bit different. All week long on KROQ, starting this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're giving away tickets for you to go see The Offspring on June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And where do you suppose, Lisa, you get to go if you win the grand prize drawing Friday morning?
Bogota.
Bogota could be right, because it's your choice of anywhere in the world that The Offspring is playing on their international world tour. How about
that? Oh, my God. Really?
Anywhere.
Yeah. anywhere in the world that they're playing. You get to go to that show. So
Reseda.
This could be, you could choose Reseda, I guess, if you wanted. I don't know why you would, but I mean, just think about where the Offspring is going to be going. I mean, all over Asia and Europe and Australia and, you know, Africa, who knows where they're playing, but wherever
amazing.
They are, it really is one of the most incredible prizes ever. It's destination number 7 of K-Rock's World Tour 2009, and your chance to win is coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock World Tour 2009. Your favorite K-Rock bands in places all over the planet.
Runway 411 clear for takeoff.
Roger that.
Destination 7. The Offspring. Anywhere in the world.
With a thousand eyes in a good disguise.
You pick the city anywhere they play this year. Australia. Latin America. The Middle East. Europe. Asia. Africa. Win tickets all week to see them June 5th at Verizon Wireless Amp. On sale Saturday at 10. And get on the standby boarding list. Listen for your name Friday morning. If Offspring plays there, you can be there.
This is Dexter from The Offspring listening to the world famous K-Rock.
Keep listening.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, comedian Bill Maher joins us next hour, plus a recap of last night's Celebrity Apprentice on the way. First, though, we've been really looking forward to this one for the last couple of weeks.
Comes Kreps down the right side. He's got Scratchins with him. Kreps fires a shot. Rebound. They score! Pour some sugar on me. Steps into the middle. Ian Bomeister will trade. Ballard. Quick try. Shoots. He scores! Ball! The meatloaf! Panthers with a power play goal. They got a 1-0 lead. Stillman right out in front of the shoot. They score! Make me a bicycle clown!
That's what I'm talking about right there. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Florida Panthers, our friend Randy Moeller joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Randy, how are you, man?
Hey, guys, how are you? Love the show, and yeah, everything's going great. How's everybody doing out there?
We're doing just fine.
We're fine, and I'm not lying when I say we've been looking forward to this as much as anything for the past couple of weeks, because I guess maybe we're late coming to the party, but you have been enthralling your Florida Panthers radio listeners with your hockey goal calls all season long. It's amazing how big this thing has gotten for you, Randy.
Yeah, it is. We never thought that this would happen, and that was not really my motivation, guys. Was, you know, I mean, people that know me know that I have a personality. I like, I don't take myself too seriously. We like to have fun. We're in a non-traditional market down here with the Panthers, and my goal calls, what happened with Dan Levitard, who's on our flagship station. He asked if his fans could make some suggestions after a goal calls, because I've had a few top shelf where Mrs. Moeller keeps the peanut butter and a few other ones and that. And they made some suggestions, and all of a sudden this thing has taken off and over a million hits on YouTube and that. I never thought that this would happen. But the other thing, too, we couldn't do this unless the Panthers were playing well and in a playoff race, which they are, in a big divisional game against Carolina tonight. So all in all, it's fun, and I've said from the very beginning, we're just having fun. The fans are enjoying this. If anybody's taking this seriously or think there's other motives behind it, they're not. And that's just it. As long as everybody's having fun, we're in the entertainment business, as you know.
Right.
And
right.
We're just having fun with this. That's all.
And of course, you had a long, long career as a hockey player yourself, and you ended your last team you played for was the Florida Panthers. Is that right, Randy?
Yes, it was their second year, and then they asked me to politely leave, which I did off the ice, and then I've been a broadcaster ever since. But, yeah, I've been with the team pretty well. I've only missed the first year of this franchise. So I've been here 14 years and that. And, you know, and it's a challenge trying to build a fan base down here in a very cluttered sports market with the Dolphins, Marlins, the Heat winning championship and that. And, but with the Panthers, yeah, we've got a great fan base here. We're trying to still grow it, but this is for the fans, and I take suggestions. You go on our website, and I have over 30, oh, there's got to be 3,500 suggestions now that I got on a database.
Oh, my God. And how does it work in the booth? Do you just have you got a sheet of paper, a computer, laptop, or something up that you have a million to choose from while you're working?
Yeah, I do have a list, and I go through it and that. And then basically what I try to do is I try to just when the goal happens, and I've reviewed or I've been thinking about some of these pop culture lines from movies or from songs from the 80s or the 90s, and then usually it'll come to me as soon as we score a goal, and then I just let it rip. Fortunately, I haven't had to say a goal, or I haven't done a goal that that needs to be bleeped or anything like that. I get some pretty interesting suggestions that I cannot say on the air. We're a family show, as everybody knows. But I enjoy all the suggestions and the creativity. Not only the two things, the creativity of people with fans. I'm a big pop culture fan, movies. Uh-huh. Music fan. I love music and all types of music and that. And the other thing too is the people that have gotten a hold and the emails. I receive over 200 emails every day, and from countries I have no idea where they're from and a language I have no idea what they're speaking. But it's from the little old ladies from Pasadena that are emailing, to lumberjacks up in Alaska and everywhere in between, from Finland to Czechoslovakia. I got two guys in Greece that listen on the internet, and they give suggestions about three times a week. So it's worldwide, and we're just having fun with it.
I've been to the Florida Panthers website. Of course, the K-Rock listeners should too, because they have actually isolated every single call for every single goal where you've made one of these pop culture references all season long. And it's just so much fun to sit there and just play them. And I guess a lot of people listening are like me. They're like, hey, I don't know what that one is. And you instantly have to Google it to figure out what it is the heck you're talking about.
Oh, well, that's part of the fun, because there are some gems in there that you really got to do some research, whether it's a song or a movie. I mean, it's easy to do The Godfather, where, you know, leave the gun, take the cannolis. I mean, everybody knows that, because we all grew up with those movies, right?
Right.
But some of the ones are, and there are some funny ones that you and I, we all would just forget, and all of a sudden it's suggestion. You go, oh, man, that's a good line. I remember that movie or that song and that. So we're having fun with it, and hopefully the Panthers can go into the playoffs this would not work, guys. This would not work if the Panthers were 17-48 on the season.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just now the Panthers obviously are a little challenged. They've only scored 11 goals in the last six games, so I've had to hold back on some. I'm saving some for the playoffs, and everybody can ask what they're going to be, and I won't tell anybody.
I remember how much it helped hockey. You know, hockey in Southern California was also a little bit of a tough ride at the beginning, as you can well imagine, because we have so many other sports franchises out here. You know, having the Ducks win the Cup a few years ago helped a lot. And I'm sure down in Florida, you've had two teams in your division win the Cup in the last couple of years, right? The Panthers and the Lightning have both won. The Hurricanes and the Lightning have both won. And that has to increase the interest in those teams and in the sport in general in Florida, I would imagine.
Well, it has. Yeah, you're right. It has. But you see, the Panthers, they went to their Stanley Cup Finals in 96 in their third year. And this place down here, Southern Florida, was just on fire with Panthers. But it's been a dry spell. They haven't been to the playoffs in 8 years. And they need something positive to happen. And hopefully they're going to make the playoffs this year. And all the PR that we can get for the team is going to obviously help in that. And I just hope so, because the fans really deserve it down here. They're good fans and that. They love their hockey, and there's a lot of transplants and that. So we'll see what happens. As I always say, if I'm not dead by Thursday, I'll be roaring Friday night.
Well, Randy, I'm so glad they let you do it. There's so many sports franchises that I would imagine that would have trouble with, giving you that much freedom to say so many crazy things that they may not even understand sometimes. But it's to your credit and theirs that they're willing to trust you and let you do that stuff behind the mic.
Hey, you know what, guys? Life is short. And like I've said before in a number of interviews, I'm not reading the funeral announcements from the paper. This is fun.
Right, exactly.
Sports, and we're having fun. We have too many other challenges in our lives, and with the economic system out there right now, the challenges that we all face, can't we just put those aside and have some fun for a couple, 2.5 hours for a hockey game?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, you're doing a fantastic job out there, and I know, like you said, it's worldwide, but we'll be following the Panthers, man, and good luck against Carolina tonight. I hope you guys make the playoffs.
Hey, I love your guys' show. You guys do a great job, and that keep playing that music, and we will we'll see the Panthers in the playoffs. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
All right, Randy, take care.
Sednik takes a hard hit in behind the goal, forced to the far side. He's on his backhand, puts it back to the point. The Ballard, a shot. He scores! Ballard from a one-timer. Mike Carr just hit a water buffalo. Bomeister, backhand pass over to the far side. Weiss shoots, he scores! We've got ourselves a bleeder. Frolik picks it up right out in front. They shoot, they score! Michael Frolik with a turnaround shot. Got in behind Baron. Hey, welcome to Con Air. The Panthers have a 2-1 lead.
This is Adam West.
Get a life, Ralph.
Hey, oh, hey, on, hey, none of that.
Ralph like that. Wow, that just hurts.
By the way, what hurts is that Adam's new movie, Super Capers, nowhere to be seen in the top 10 this weekend.
Is that out? That came out already?
Oh,
you said nowhere to be seen in the top 10. It's actually nowhere to be seen.
Hey, hey!
You can't find it in theaters.
It's in limited release. You have to
How
go
limited?
To, I don't know. It's in a couple
like
theaters.
Two?
Adam's screening room in Idaho.
It's in theaters in New York and Los Angeles. Shut up, everybody.
Isn't the great Adam West, Mayor Quahog, going to be joining us Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show right here?
Nope.
Okay.
No?
I guess I got wrong information.
No,
sorry about that.
He sadly had to decline.
Because you creep him out?
No, he will be joining us
restraining order?
Early in April. We've had to reschedule Adam because of some prior commitments, but he will be on the show in April. When he's in town, he's going to come in and spend the day with us.
So, oh, that's fantastic. That's even better.
Yes, exactly.
7:55, highlights of last night's Celebrity Apprentice in part one of the Dennis Rodman meltdown coming up after the news at 8. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
As I mentioned, Super Capers nowhere to be seen in the top 10. Inexcusable to me that it's not in the top 10. But the films that are in the top 10 this weekend, hot box office is Knowing. Nicolas Cage's new film made almost $25 million, making it number one by a long shot. I Love You, Man, came in at number two with $18 million in its debut weekend. Duplicity was third, then Race to Witch Mountain, that mountain.
I'll be so happy when that movie is out of the top 10.
Not me. See, because everyone says, Witch Mountain? They go, that one. And then Rock's all confused, and he's driving a cab, and the kids are aliens, and they're like, take us to Witch Mountain. He goes, what? Witch Mountain? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's
great. Nope.com.
Watchmen was number five. Then The Last House on the Left, Taken, Slumdog Millionaire, Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail, and Coraline rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Good news for Jane's Addiction fans. The band has released two new studio tracks as free downloads. If you go over to ninja2009.com, you can grab Chip Away and Whores. That sounds like a good weekend. Both songs were originally available on Jane's self-titled live album from 1987.
Bores.
But the recently reunited band realized they had never done them up in the studio, so they thought they would do that for their fans. So you have studio versions now of Chip Away and Whores.
Bores.
Both tracks were produced by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, which makes sense since the band and Nails have been hitting the road together and will be co-headlining a tour all summer long. Also on this free digital EP, by the way, are tracks by Nine Inch Nails and Street Sweeper, which is the new side project from Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. Street Sweeper is also on the same summer tour. So a lot of good music available for download for free.
Yeah,
if you're a Jane's fan. Boy, Jay Leno's happy he asked President Barack Obama to appear on his show. Best ratings for The Tonight Show in the last 4 years.
Wow.
It was last Thursday night. Last time the show's ratings were as good as they were on Thursday night was when Jay did a tribute to Johnny Carson back in 2005 when Carson passed away. So, pretty strong. I think they said his ratings were up like 167% or something.
Wow.
For Thursday night.
I was surprised, Ralph, that this is the first time that a sitting president has ever done a late-night talk show.
Yeah, we knew you'd be going crazy with that fact last week. We said, oh, you must love that. There's trivia and involves presidents and TV and everything.
I was just surprised, though. I found it hard to believe that it never happened before.
If only there was pie involved in that answer somewhere, it'd be the perfect question for you. But
there
yes.
are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Oh, that's, come
that's
on,
true,
Mr. President.
Mr. President. Absolutely true. Paris Hilton's new boyfriend is a guy named Doug Reinhart.
So he was on the Hills.
Was he?
I have no idea. Oh, is that Doug?
Yes.
I know who you're talking about.
Star Magazine confirms that he is a serial celebrity dater. He did also date Lauren Conrad. I guess that was in his Hills days.
That's right.
He dated Amanda Bynes as well.
Nice.
But reportedly, Amanda dumped him because she thought he was more interested in her celebrity than he was in her.
No.
That sounds like Doug.
Can't be. Can't be the case, can it?
So what happens when we go out to a party with some sisters, huh?
We all have a good time, I guess. And congratulations to Jonathan Monaco. He is the winner of the first collegiate tournament. I mean, forget the NCAA basketball. Forget that.
Okay.
The first collegiate tournament for rock, paper, scissors was held over the weekend.
I'm sorry?
And Jonathan Monaco was the big-time winner.
We got a winner!
The
USA Rock Paper Scissors League first collegiate tournament, and Jonathan gets a $20,000 scholarship where he attends a school at Syracuse there. So he'll be applying that towards.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Congratulations, Jonathan. $20,000 for rock, paper, scissors.
They televised that for a while. I don't know if it was the collegiate one or if it was the pros, but remember we watched that on ESPN that time?
Yeah, I think they televised this one as well. Apparently, it's all the rage. We might have to get involved in this somehow. The guy, yeah. The guy who's the commissioner of the league, Matty LeSean, says that it's taken over. The game's just taking over, and he'd like to get it into casinos. Can you imagine playing rock, paper, scissors for money in casinos? It'd be awesome. By the way, I found out over the weekend on the broadcast that there's a new way you can serve paper when you lay paper down in rock, paper, scissors.
What?
You turn your palm up. He's like, that's paper. Put your palm up. We call that the subpoena.
You just serve. How is that different than your palm down, though? Because it's still paper.
But it's just style, man. Yeah. Just flip it out there with the palm up.
That's pretty dope, actually.
That's the subpoena. You got served with paper.
Wow. Literally serving people.
Exactly.
Pretty Whoa, small. What the f*** is that?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Rick Ocasek from The Cars is 60 years old today. Shaka Khan turns 56 years old. Oh, strong. I didn't know we were going to go into that beatbox, Mike. Kerry Russell from Felicity's 33 years old today, and Richard Grieco.
Yeah.
Or as Mike calls him, the Greeks, is 44 years old today. He, of course, of Beverly Hills. No, he was on 21 Jump Street.
Yep.
That's what he was on. And then later on, he starred in a solo series, Booker.
That's right.
He had his own show, Booker.
And just.
And now.
Is dreamy.
Now he wants to be the prom king of Hollywood. He wishes he could run against Mike in that competition and meet Mr. Belding. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Donald Trump. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're fine. The Celebrity Apprentice on Sunday night. It's still a big hit for NBC, it looks like.
The greatest show with the largest ratings ever for NBC for 2 hours that follow Kings.
So just wow. For your show. What's going on with your crazy celebrities? What happened last night?
This is the greatest season we've ever had on Celebrity Apprentice. And largely because of the amazing work of Dennis Rodman, who is just the best competitor we've ever had on the show. And
he quits. He doesn't show up to his tasks, and then when he does, he just sits in the corner and pouts, Donald.
But that's because he has been unfairly targeted, and he's used to that. That's what people always do to Dennis. Just ask him.
Yeah. Really trying to single me out, but I'm used to being a black sheep. Even in the NBA, I was always the one they always target. Michael Jordan's the greatest sports figure on the planet, ever. He'll tell you, Dennis is not difficult at all. He'll work with anybody. So Clint can go to hell.
That's right. Clint Black can go right to hell.
Wow.
He has a little bit of a persecution complex, that's for sure.
He does feel like people pick on him just because he drinks too much, doesn't show up for work, and doesn't contribute anything to the team.
That's
and because of that, people have to pick on him and say he's
That's
not
right.
good at what he's doing. It's ridiculous. In fact, he finally had just enough of Clint Black last night. Clint Black had the audacity, once the challenge was delivered and the task was decided what they had to do, Clint Black had to flip a coin to see who would go first. How dare he do that? How dare he flip a coin? I don't know what made Dennis so angry, but he was very angry at him.
Yeah.
Hey, Clint Black. This you think you're the right, bro?
You
think you're the right, bro?
You think this?
No, you think you're the right, bro?
Oh my God!
You think this is gonna help?
Oh, you man! You think you know everything? Oh, I forgot, brother. It's a team. The team game. Yes, win this, Joe.
Now I don't speak black, but I think Dennis is very upset with Clint Black.
I thought he was going to pick Clint Black up and just hurl him through a plate glass window down to the street below.
No, he just threw off his microphone and quit until he came back later.
Right, exactly.
And unquit. But by then, Brian McKnight, the team leader, decided not to use him. And the challenge last night was to debut a new product from a great company called ACN, which has a brand new video phone.
Uh-huh.
It's just like living in the Jetsons. It's in the future. You get to see people when you talk to them. It's
right.
An amazing product. I recommend it highly. And we ran about 47 commercials for this product last night. Anyway, they had two challenges. Each team had 10 minutes to present the new product and do it in an exciting way. And the other team leader was a woman named Claudia
She's the model from Deal or No Deal, right?
She apparently is some sort of attaché saleswoman or something.
Yeah, she opens a suitcase on the game show, right?
I always see her holding a suitcase of some kind,
and she's
very popular, and she's a big celebrity.
I've never heard of her before.
I've never heard of her either, but she was a project manager, and Melissa Rivers, you heard of her.
Yes,
unfortunately.
Very upset because Claudia wouldn't let her decide how to do this show, how to put on this show to show this new product off, because this is what Melissa does. This is her expertise.
This is what I do for a living. This is what I do. And you really talked down to me.
You think I talked down to you?
You attacked what I do for a living.
I'm not attacking what you
do. But that's what it felt like. You know what? Let's just stop now, because I just want to do my work.
I want you to.
Okay.
You can tell by the way she's pouting and stamping her feet that she just wants to do her work, even though she stopped everything to talk about everything. Now, that's what she does for a living, by the way. She's a producer.
That's what she said, yeah.
She does that for a living.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
She doesn't even have a job. She's not on any show anywhere on any time on any channel on the dial.
Uh-uh. But she is a producer.
Okay.
She's producing something someplace as we speak. Well, Claudia is not too happy with Melissa Rivers. And I thought it was unfair, but she picked on her appearance a little bit.
I don't like her personality. I think she looks funny. She scares me. I don't know if she's happy or sad or pissed off because it's the same blank look in her eyes and the forehead doesn't move. And if Joan Rivers wasn't around, there would be no Melissa Rivers on television or producing or anything. And that's a fact.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
But she's a producer.
That's what I understand, yes.
And everyone asked her, what does she produce? And apparently she produced those red carpet things they used to do.
Yes, until they got fired.
Those are good.
And they were awful. So maybe they were better off not letting her do what she wanted to do. Now, Melissa's idea was to have Joan Rivers on stage doing comedy for these people before they brought out the product to talk about it. Ooh. And I thought that was an excellent idea because Joan is a very popular comedian, and the crowd would really appreciate it.
Okay. And seriously, let me tell you, I am so thrilled from now on when I speak to people, they can see my face. I have spent $150,000 on this face.
You could tell there the crowd really appreciated the fact that Joan is able to talk about that horrible disfiguring accident she had and the work they had to do to get her face looking somewhat human again. And that's very courageous of her to address that in front of a crowd of people.
Donald, I think it was just plastic surgery. I don't think there was any kind of an accident or something. I think she did all of that voluntarily.
Was the aging accident, right.
Wait a minute. She chose to have her face look like that?
Yeah.
I believe so, yes.
That's just not possible.
No, it is.
No, she had to be in some sort of fire.
No, she looks like it.
She had to have been dipped in an acid bath.
You would think so, but not this time.
No. She had to have been shot in the face with a shotgun. There's no way you can explain that face. It's hideous.
It's scary.
It's freaking hideous.
Yeah,
true.
The other team had Brian McKnight as their team leader, and he got up and sang some songs. That was better than Joan telling jokes.
Okay.
So when it got into the boardroom, we realized the women had lost the competition, and that's when the fighting started between Claudia and Melissa.
I feel like every time I went to tell her something, oh, she cannot take criticism at all. You tell her something, and it's like she's not even listening. And she just goes off.
Oh, my God, Claudia.
And she goes off and tells. And
this is such bull.
Now, who says she can't take criticism?
Right, Donald, there she's accepting it.
I almost feel bad for you with all the times you've been married. The last thing you need is a job where you have to listen to women bitching.
Especially ugly ones.
Yeah.
Like Melissa Rivers.
Yeah.
Well, Joan couldn't help herself. She had to stand up for her daughter.
I've got to, and it's not because she's my child. I'm being very honest. The weakest link in this group is Claudia.
And it's not because Melissa's her daughter.
No.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's not why she's saying that. Because she honestly believes it is part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came time to decide who was going to get fired, I had Claudia bring in two other people. And naturally, she brought in Melissa Rivers and Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, yeah.
We only had three people in the boardroom, which was lucky because there was no room once Khloe got into the boardroom for anyone else to come in. Good God, she's fat.
Oh, she's got a big ass.
She was wearing a leopard skin skirt last night, and I thought an entire group of leopards had invaded the boardroom. I was afraid for my life. I thought I'd be mauled by her giant ass. So it's time to make a decision who would be fired. I had no choice.
I believe you have an amazing future. I think you're totally beautiful. You're going to be a big star. But I'm sorry, Claudia, you're fired.
So I had to fire Claudia, but she will be a big star in the world of silver attaché cases being held up for a bald Canadian.
She, in that category, she actually does the job pretty well.
She's a huge star. Right. And next week, we all ask Dennis Rodman to stop drinking, and I think he kills us.
He's got a problem, doesn't he, Donald?
He likes cocktails.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
But who doesn't? I'm drunk now.
Well done. Thanks, Donald.
Hey!
Well done. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
That sounded good.
Yeah.
It's the world-famous K-Rock for a Monday morning, 8:26. One of the best hours on TV all week long is Bill Maher on Friday nights with his real-time show, and the comedian himself will join us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Mead Show. We actually don't have time to talk about this thing.
Yeah, we do.
You know, well, we got to take a break because we got Mr. Maher standing by. We want to get right to him.
I've been waiting over a week to say this, but Bean, what's wrong with you?
What are you talking about?
Well, I just haven't had a chance to say that in a week.
I was on vacation last week.
But the latest story I've heard about you from Psycho Mike is so disturbing that I really think you may need professional help at this point.
She said she was 18.
That's not what I'm talking about. Psycho Mike, tell me what you told me earlier. Say it again about Bean.
The delight of going to dinner with Miss Bean last week. She came down into L.A. for some business, and we went out to dinner. It was really nice, and she happened to let it slip that Bean is now refusing to get a haircut unless he gets it in a different state.
So each time he gets his haircut, he has to go to a different state.
And what
he did
so
before,
the next
or
50
just...
haircuts are going to have to be in states
of
around
Washington.
The union.
And as she was leaving for her trip down here, she was talking to Bean, and he said, I've got so much to do before I make my trip to Idaho to get my haircut.
Shut up.
All right. Listen.
Come on.
What's wrong with you?
That's not even.
What's wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with me. It's just. I don't know, guys.
Is your life so boring that this is what you have to do?
That's pathetic.
To make it interesting?
No. I love to travel, though. And oftentimes, you know, you don't go someplace unless you force yourself to go, unless you have a reason to go.
Who's force yourself to go? What, you put a gun to your own head and make yourself go to Idaho?
Get on the plane, damn it.
If you want to go there, just go.
It's just that sometimes you kind of need a reason to go, and that gives me – well, look.
And sometimes you make up a total BS reason.
Yeah.
Here's what happened, guys. I got a haircut when I was in Detroit in September, okay? And because it was like 95 degrees out, and I was just dying, and I needed a haircut anyway, so I got a haircut.
Okay.
And then just by coincidence, the next haircut that I got was on December 27th on Maui in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So now I got Michigan and Hawaii, and then I started thinking as it was time for another haircut, wow, wouldn't it be fun to get a haircut in a different state? So I was thinking maybe like this coming weekend or something like
that. Who thinks that? Who thinks, wouldn't it be fun to get a haircut in a different state?
Well, because my last two haircuts have not been in Washington.
Yeah, but it's not about fun. Haircuts aren't party time. Unless you're a kid and you get a lollipop at the end of it, haircuts for human beings are just, this is something I need to do to keep up my personal appearance. I just need to go get this done. I got to get the haircut and get back onto my life.
And then I thought, now that Michigan and Hawaii are out, I can go to Idaho or something like that this weekend. That's three. Well, now I'm well on my way. And at that point, you got a streak going. At that point, you have a responsibility to keep it going. You can't just give up after three or five or eight or 11 states. Now you're committed.
To who?
You should be committed.
You don't want to start something and then not finish it, is what I'm saying.
This is seriously weird thinking.
I feel like I'm too far down the road now to just give up.
No, you're not. Just get your hair cut like a normal person in your hometown.
I think I'm going to Idaho this weekend. I think I'm going to go do that and get a haircut, and then just I'm going to drive. Of course, it's like 10 hours, and then turn around and come back. But at least I'll have a haircut in Idaho.
So. You are going to drive 20 hours for a haircut.
You're like a mentally ill person.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to see a lot of Idaho. Like you're going to travel around, stay in hotels.
But sometimes you have to force yourself to go to Idaho, Lisa.
It's literally just a drive there and a drive back.
But it's not just the destination. It's not just once I get to Idaho, I get to tick off another state for my haircut. It's that I get the joy of the road trip, and you guys know how much I enjoy that. I'm going to really have a great time driving there and back. That's going to be fun. And in addition to that, I check Idaho off the map. That's all I'm saying. It's not a big deal. I think it's going
to
be fun.
But what happens when you get down to like Florida? I mean, that's all that's left.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to come a time in 2 years where I'm going to have to fly to New Hampshire for the weekend. I mean, I see where it's headed, but like
so
I said,
stop it. So stop it. If you see where it's headed, then stop it now.
I'm too far in.
No,
now,
you're not.
Guys.
You just happened coincidentally to get haircuts while you were traveling twice. It's
once
not
you've done
no
Michigan
commitment.
And Hawaii. There's
no
going
contract.
Back.
No,
there's
you
no pact with
that's,
Satan.
That's 2 out of 50.
Just stop. Just don't do it.
It's almost but nothing.
And there is no obligation. Though. 2 out of 50. Yeah, Lisa. Very, very small fraction of
1/25.
Well, you tell that. You tell that to the guy who's got to check that his front door is locked 11 times before he gets to the car. It's
and
the
that
same
guy
kind of thing.
Is mentally ill.
Has issues. He has
yeah,
disorder.
He's got
and you're
problems.
You're a hunchback miser that needs to fulfill all these crazy, you know, Asperger's yeah. checklists. Well,
here's a dude who asks for a receipt when he buys a newspaper in New York City so he can write it off his taxes. Will spend whatever it costs in gas and wear and tear on his car to travel to Idaho right. to get a haircut.
Right. It's
going to
cost
you. That you can get the Supercuts for $15.
It's going to cost you well over $100 in gas to drive there and back. If I were to tell you, Bean, today you need to go get a $100 haircut, you would punch me in the face.
Yeah, that's a
good
point.
Well, of course. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All right, listen, we got to take a break because we got our guest standing by. But you guys can laugh now, but when I come in Monday and I look fresh with that haircut right out of Boise, you guys are going to be rethinking, all right?
God damn you.
Straight to hell.
Good afternoon.
Time will be. There it is. One of my favorite hours of TV all week long is Friday nights at 10 on HBO. It is Real Time with Bill Maher. It's been a while since we caught up with Mr. Maher, but he joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bill, how are you, man?
Hey, good morning, all.
Hello.
Great to talk to you. Your show has
thank
been
you.
So, so great this season, man. You guys have
oh,
really been
you.
Stepping it up.
Oh,
and
I appreciate
there
that.
Certainly has been plenty for you to bitch about this year, hasn't there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, a few months ago, everybody was saying, gee, is comedy dead because Obama's in the White House? And I kept saying, you know what? Honky, please. As long as there
exactly.
are Democrats and young women and Republicans and young boys, there will be comedy. And we certainly have had some comedy, even in bad times.
Bill, is it ever weird for you? Do you ever have moments where you think, hey, I'm a comedian. What am I doing interviewing Madeleine Albright? How did my life get to this point?
Boy, she was funnier than I was Friday night. I don't.
She was.
But I know what you mean. Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing that Americans at this point in our history, we like our news with a little dose of sugar. You know, there's a lot of entertainment factor in getting information these days. And, you know, for better or for worse, I guess I'm part of that. I guess it would be better if we were a more serious people. But, hey, the president was on Leno Thursday night, so don't blame
exactly.
me.
Exactly. And you know that, I mean, as weird as it is, and it's the first time that's ever happened, I guess, a sitting president going on a late-night show like that, you know that so many more people saw that than if he'd done every single Sunday morning show and 60 Minutes.
And look, that's true, and I don't know if he's going to turn out to be a great president. I think he certainly has a shot at it. But I do know one thing. He's a great talk show guest. He brought the noise, and he brought the funk, and he had material. I mean, yes, I guess his Special Olympics hunk didn't go over quite so well.
But know, like yes. you said Friday night, you've been saying for years that bowling is retarded, so just
exactly.
get over it, right?
Thank you, yes.
Bill, do you have – I know how optimistic you were, and a lot of Americans were when President Obama was elected. I know that you were definitely for the man. But I'm starting to sense a little bit of frustration around the edges in a lot of people, and I've seen it on your show a little bit too, that some things haven't changed yet, and you still have Congress, for instance. You got all these Democrats that are still – even the Democrats in a Democratic-controlled Congress are still gunking things up and refusing to give up their pork projects and everything like that. It's
right.
still it's still not a good – it's still not a perfect system, is it?
It sure isn't, and it is dispiriting because I guess we thought that things would go easier, and some of it has. You know, there are certain things that Obama was able to do just by decree. He closed Guantanamo Bay. We're allowed to have stem cell research again. We're back in the Kyoto global warming agreements. They even stopped raiding the marijuana clubs
yeah.
here in California. So it's like when he got into office, he had a big can of Bush Be Gone, and he sprayed it over everything. And that felt good. But now comes the part where it's a little trickier, because now's the stuff where you have to involve Congress. And like you say, they're gunking up the works.
Right, right. Do you think he's trying to do too much, or do you think this is what people want, is for him to address every problem that we've got as soon as he can?
Well, the way I understand it is, you know, we let our country fall into disrepair, and we sort of have to spend this money anyway. You know, the bridges are falling apart, the roads, the schools, the environment was neglected, health care was neglected. It's just been decades of neglect. We got to spend the money on this stuff anyway. Now that we need to have stimulus money in the works, it seems like we're trying to do, you know, make a crisis into an opportunity. But I agree, it's a little scary, and it is, you know, a lot of money. The stimulus package alone is $787 billion, and that's a big package even for a black man.
This is a comedian Bill Maher on the phone. We're talking about Real Time with Bill Maher, which airs Friday nights at 10 on HBO. And, Bill, it looks like you're I know you never gave up stand-up. You're always out on the road, but it happens to fall that you're in town this weekend at the Gibson.
Yeah, you know what? I have been wanting to play the Universal Amphitheater. I guess they call it the Gibson Theater now, but yeah. I'll always be the Universal Amphitheater to me because I've seen so many good people over there over the years, like the Eagles and Chris Rock, and just it's a great room. And you know, I don't often play my own hometown. It's funny, like you say, I'm on the road a lot, and then you kind of forget and go, wow, when was the last time I played L.A.? I live here. So I'm really looking forward to this gig. I have been on the road a lot. I got a tight new act. It's really funny. It's been kicking ass out there, and I can't wait to do it in front of the hometown fans.
It's going to be Saturday night, 8:15, Gibson Amphitheater. There are some tickets available through Ticketmaster, or we're going to give some away. If you're a Bill Maher fan and want to check them out in person, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll give away tickets to the first five Bill Maher fans that want to call and go to the Gibson. Bill, I'm sure that there are an awful lot of people that you have tried to get on your show, people that you are critical of. Is there a wish list that you have of people that you're dying to get on the show that you haven't been able to yet?
I do. You know, a lot of them are in politics. You know, some of them are in show business, but some of them are in show business and politics, like Bill Clinton. You know, even a Democrat like him, I would love to get on. He's never done our show. And I guess I have to take that as a little bit of a compliment, kind of in a backhanded way, but I think it's because we keep it pretty straight down the middle, and they know they're not going to get kid glove treatment. I think we're respectful, but, you know, I'm not going to let them get away with stuff. So I think that just scares a lot of people away.
How about some of the higher-ranking Republicans? Do you have any luck with – I mean, every once in a while you'll get a guy on, and
usually we get them after they're out of office. You know, right. While they're in office, that's a little tough.
Yeah.
But that's true with a lot of people. You know, in the American system, they don't really speak the truth until they are not in office anymore. I've had governors and Congress people come on and say we should end the drug war, but never while they're in office.
When it could do us some good. Right, exactly. Well, I got to tell you, Bill, one of the things that I really respect about your show so much, and I'm serious about this, is there are an awful lot of people in showbiz, a lot of comedians, a lot of actors, a lot of singers who are out there, and they're happy to give their opinion. But I always get the impression from you that you're actually a thoughtful person who has really come to these conclusions based on the facts. And a lot of times people seem to go more with the, you know, more with partisanship or ideology than with
right.
the facts. And I got to be honest, at this point, I love it that sometimes you still surprise me with the conclusions that you've drawn, because it's not stuff that I would have expected from you, because you're making up your mind individually as you go along with each situation. And that's to your credit.
Well, thanks. I try. I mean, I try to do my homework. I work pretty hard. You know, I think we live in a country that is at sort of a crisis point. And part of it is people realizing that we can't have a guy in the White House anymore who you want to have a beer with. I mean, in my lifetime, the Republican Party alone has nominated bimbo after bimbo. I mean, George Bush, bimbo. Dan Quayle was a bimbo. Sarah Palin was a bimbo. You know, people you want to have a beer with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to have a beer with them, and I want to crack the bottle over their heads. It does take some work, some reading of the paper, some thinking on some of this stuff. And you know, I mean, think of the mood of this country right now. If we had elected old man McCain and Cruella DeVille to the highest office in the land.
Let me make this the last question, Bill, because I know you got to go. If President Obama turns out to be a bust, if he can't accomplish half of what he tries to, I mean, how disillusioned will you be? I mean, America goes on, but I mean, is your little heart going to be broken if the great black hope doesn't come through?
You mean the infallible chocolate Jesus? Or is that right, Kanye exactly. West? I'm thinking of. Well, I mean, it'll be more than just an emotional letdown. I mean, it will be that too, of course. But I mean, gee whiz, we are sort of depending on this guy to be the one to pull us out of the nosedive. And yeah. The great thing about him is that he is so calm. In the middle of the storm and everything is falling apart, this guy, sometimes I look at him, I go, is he on Xanax or something? I mean, what is with this man? But yes, I want him to succeed terribly. I think almost all Americans do, despite the fact that Rush Limbaugh said he wants him to fail. But come on, we all say crazy stuff when we're hot. But
exactly.
If he doesn't succeed, I mean, we are all in trouble because this is our country too.
Yep. Good point. Real Time with Bill Maher airs Friday nights at 10 on HBO. It is a must watch. And then it continues on the website, something I've done a couple of times, by the way. After the broadcast is over, you can go and watch more of the conversation at HBO.com. And that's also very, very entertaining. And, of course, Gibson Amphitheater at Universal City is going to be this Saturday night. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster to see the great Bill Maher on stage. Bill, we don't talk to you often enough, man. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
It's Ralph Garman.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, I got to tell you. It's a good day. It's a good day for America.
Yeah.
It's a good day to be alive. This story coming from E! Online, which is a pretty reputable entertainment news website. Megan Fox has moved out of the home that she shares with Brian Austin Green.
Oh, really?
And has moved into a hotel.
Everything on the tabloid websites the last few weeks have been, see, they're back together. See, here they are. See, here she's picking up his kid from school. Whatever.
Apparently they have been trying to patch things up, but an insider reveals when someone leaves and goes to a hotel, it doesn't exactly say, let's get married, does it?
I am rigid.
So, looks like it could be the end.
Wow.
Or just the beginning. For Ralgan. That's what they'll call us when we're out around the town. Or Magelf. Trying to think of what our celebrity couple name would be. I think Ralgan. Probably.
Guard Fox?
Yeah.
I don't Mike. I don't care how long Brian Austin Green lives, there's never going to come a day where he doesn't at some point think, I somehow lost Megan Fox. I had her, and now I don't.
Yeah, now she's the world's.
Yep.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Knowing was number one. Nicolas Cage's new sci-fi thriller, $25 million, made it number one. I Love You, Man, in its debut, was number two at the box office with about $18 million. Duplicity came in third. Then Race to Witch Mountain? That mountain. $13 million, made it number four. Watchmen was five. The Last House on the Left, Taken. Slumdog Millionaire Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail and Coraline rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Congratulations to Bruce Willis. Not only did he take a bride this weekend at his Caribbean island, on his home, actually at the Caribbean island of Turks and Caicos, he married a 30-year-old model named Emma Emming.
Yeah.
Nice.
I bet she's not ugly.
She is not. We have seen photos of the lovely Miss Hemming or the new Mrs. Willis, and she is... As attractive as she is, attractive.
And that's saying something.
And that's saying something. So congratulations to them. Also, Natasha Bedingfield got married over the weekend, as did Danica McKellar from The Wonder Years. So
yeah! Winnie Cooper!
A lot of love in the air, is all I'm saying. Except over at the Megan Fox, Brian Austin Greenhouse. Not so much love in the air. Does everyone want to see Roseanne Barr come back to television?
No.
Hollywood Reporter says she is looking to do another family sitcom in which she'd play a mom.
Nope.
Roseanne had a syndicated talk show recently and then a reality series for ABC after her show ended, but not so much.
She's also been at Tahiti Village.
I believe she has, in Vegas. Yes, Tahiti Village.
I wonder if it'll be based in a condo in Las Vegas, her new show.
I bet it will be.
This is great. I love Vegas.
Really? You do?
I
sure love
it.
Vegas, too, Roseanne.
Man turned into Louis Anderson there. I'm not sure why. Remember last week when we talked about that woman from UCLA who's got a Facebook page dedicated to stopping James Franco from being their closing ceremony speaker, the graduation ceremony speaker?
I got a quick email here from Nate, which is really funny, I thought. Ralph, just wanted to share this real quick. Listen to your segment on Friday. Wanted to comment. My brother graduated from UCLA a few years back. And you know who did their commencement speech? Cookie Monster.
Yes.
What? Sorry. A Sesame Street puppet did this honored and hallowed ceremony. So F them. That's from Nate, and he listens to us in Massachusetts. So I had no idea. We should have done that. We should have taken a look back to see who had done the commencement speaking.
Well, yeah, because she said last year was Bill Clinton, so we all just assumed it was this long line of really...
Yeah, well, apparently Cookie Monster did it one
well-respected
year.
Well-respected.
Ralph, was that an actual email on an actual topic, or is it somehow going to end with two tickets to paradise,
no,
which is what I expected?
No, it's an actual email.
Oh, that was it.
An actual topic. I just thought it was worth talking about.
I'm sitting here thinking, what does Cookie Monster rhyme with? How is he going to work it in?
No, man. Stop looking for, you know, the gag. Sometimes I just bring the info. You know who it is.
All right. That's what you're famous for.
Today's celebrity birthday is Rick Ocasek from The Cars. Is 60 years old today. Singer Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
She is 56 years old today. Richard Grieco.
Yeah.
From a show you probably don't even remember called 21 Jump Street.
Woo!
But it was the jumping off point for such stars as Johnny Depp.
Hack.
And one of the DeLuise boys, one of Dom DeLuise's kids, was also on that show.
But it had Grieco.
And then Richard Grieco joined the cast.
That's so yeah. sweet.
And actress Kerry Russell turns 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin Abean, Cinco de la Tarde. I on the world famous K-Rock for a Monday afternoon. Just announced this morning on the Kevin Abean Morning Show, destination number 7 of K-Rock's World Tour 2009. It's The Offspring in the city of your choice. How about that? You win tickets for June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale Saturday morning at 10 for that. And then if you win the grand prize drawing we do Friday, you get to go anywhere Offspring is going all the way around the world.
Wow.
That could be one of the coolest prizes we've ever given out.
I think so.
All right. Ralph's got the showbiz beat later on this hour and your chance to win those tickets also coming up later on this hour. Dateline, Florida.
Florida?
Yes. Lakeland, Florida. A Polk County teenage student has been suspended from school because he was intentionally farting on the other students, according to the school officials. I just know that when this story first came over the newswire, Psycho Mike said, God damn it, do I wish that were my kid.
I'm really
so proud of this young man, wouldn't you?
I really do.
I understand we're not able to get the kid, but we do have the young man's father on the phone from Lakeland, Florida, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Jonathan Locked Jr. is the boy in question. You are Jonathan Locked Sr., I take it.
I am, sir.
Thank you very much for joining us. According to the newspaper there, your 15-year-old son was suspended from Bill Duncan Opportunity School because of disruptive behavior from his ass.
That's right. He was suspended from the school, and we have taken this up with the school district. We're appealing the suspension because I believe the school went too far with the punishment.
Was it just a couple of times that it happened accidentally after a bean lunch or something, or do you think your son maybe was doing it on purpose?
I believe my son was doing it on purpose. I'm not trying to excuse his behavior.
Well, I mean, did they ask him to stop and then he just kept doing it? Was that the problem?
Well, there were some complaints apparently from some of the other students. But you have to understand, my son is a 15-year-old boy who believed that, you know, passing gas would be a way to make his friends laugh.
Uh-huh.
And he was just fooling around, and maybe he's gone a little too far. And I can understand them being unhappy with him. But I think suspension from a school, especially a school like the Bill Duncan Opportunity School, where he's going there trying to get an opportunity, is just way over the top. And I think they overstepped their bounds, and I think that his suspension should be revoked.
Well, I do understand where you're coming from, because seriously, who gets hurt, you know, if a guy farts in class? I do understand. But if he does it repeatedly, it can become disruptive to the point where the teacher can't concentrate on teaching the other students the whatever the lesson is that day.
Well, I understand that, and I'm not saying he shouldn't have been punished at all. But sorry.
Mr. Locked?
Yeah. But I think some people said the smell made it difficult to breathe in the classroom, and I just think that's crazy talk, because, it wasn't... sulfur fumes or nothing. It was just... Oh, man.
Oh, my. Mr. Locke. What's going on? Is that you or is that your boy?
I'm going to change my pants now, I think.
Oh,
a little bit.
No.
Come on.
Mr. Locke, this...
Oh.
What's that like? It hurt.
That was a squeaker right there. But like I was saying, I'm just not happy.
Come on, we're trying to do an interview here.
So am I.
Why is it so? Why is it so
that
loud?
Came out of another hole.
Oh.
That is, like I said, I think. I'm perfectly capable. disciplining my boy on my own. I don't need this little man and take, you know, control of that situation.
You guys have got to look into your diet or something in your house. I don't know what's going on here. But... All right, Mr. Locke, at this point, that's just crazy now. No one is farting that much. Mr. Locke? Are you still there?
Are you okay?
Wow.
You're impressed now, Mike.
Yeah, this guy's awesome.
Well, I guess we see where the lad gets it.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, sir. We gotta go. Sounds like you're done. Sounds like you're not done.
I don't think he's done. I think he works out of his home.
He must. Come on. Mr. Locked. Are you all right?
Somebody call 911.
Hey, Ralph Garman. How are you, man? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was swinging.
Good to see you.
I didn't do much, but I enjoyed some time off, just kicking around the house, watching a little television, catching up on my drinking.
A lot of basketball. I don't know how many hours CBS aired this year of the games, but it seemed like they were on from the minute I woke up until the minute I went to bed.
Yeah, I don't really start paying much attention until the Sweet 16. So this week, right, I'll start watching.
Thursday you'll be in, yeah.
It's just
you're weeding out a lot of, come on, are you serious kind of teams.
And by the way, a lot of schools I've never heard of. Like, who the F is Siena, for instance? Have you ever even heard that school existed until this weekend?
Siena Miller University?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think so.
She started her own school.
A lot of nudity.
Yeah, everyone's on the balconies in captain hats and no tops. It's a great school.
May look into that. All right, Monday afternoon, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, as we do every Monday. Knowing, the new Nick Cage movie, $24.8 million, made it number one in its debut. Followed not that closely by number two, I Love You Man, and its debut made $18 million. Then Duplicity was third. Race to Witch Mountain? That mountain over there. $13 million kept in the top five at number four. Then Watchmen, Last House on the Left, Taken, Slumdog Millionaire, Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail, and Coraline rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Don't know if you caught the final episode of Battlestar Galactica or not on Friday, but it was sad. It was a sad ending.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a TV show, Rodney. It was very popular over there on the Sci-Fi channel. It was on for four seasons, and then we all said goodbye to the crew from Battlestar Galactica. But good news for Mary McDonnell, who played the president on that series. She's moved on to a brand new gig right away. She's got a role on The Closer over on TNT. So.
No kidding.
We're going to see Basic Cable's best actresses, back-to-back. Mary McDonnell and Kira Sedgwick will be working together on that show. And I hope there's, like, some lesbian action going on or something.
Yeah.
I don't really think
good-looking older bronze.
So they had
some chocolate on her.
They had a chick president on BSG. They got a chick president this year on The 24.
Yeah, man.
It's starting to scare me how people are just going along with it. Like, it's possible.
It would scare you, Bean.
Yeah.
I think it is possible, Bean. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Right, buddy, you with me on this
one? Did you pass out?
I can still move to Canada.
Bruce Willis took a second walk down the aisle Saturday at his home on the island of Turks and Caicos. Us Weekly Magazine reports Bruce wed 30-year-old Emma Heming at a star-studded affair that included his ex-wife Demi Moore, her husband Ashton Kutcher, and Madonna. Some of the celebrity guests apparently in attendance. I think Bruce and Demi compared notes. Really? How young's yours? Really, mine's 30. What about yours? He's 32. That's awesome. Isn't this awesome? Oh, we used to be married. Now we have really young people to have sex with. That's so awesome. High five.
I love that 25 years from now, after he's divorced this one, he'll marry another 30-year-old. That's what's great about being Bruce Willis.
It's a great thing about being a dude.
Yep.
You get to make that move. A lot of chicks don't get to make that move.
No.
Yeah, like Sean Connery told us, men get distinguished. Women just get old and ugly.
That's right. And dusty.
I'm not feeling good about this conversation right now. So
I didn't
if we
say
could
that.
Just move on, all of you.
That was Sean Connery.
If you don't mind.
Wow.
But at least they apparently had
a
good weekend.
Get a little ugly in here. I'm just saying.
Distinguished, that's all.
What'd you have for lunch? A big old bowl of ass attitude?
No, I should be perfectly happy with you. You're right. Silly
you should
me.
Be perfectly happy. You yes. are a woman, and we let you stay in the room and we talk.
Oh, I'm so lucky.
You should be thrilled.
Oh, my God. What did I do to deserve this honor?
Man, uppity women.
Now they are. That's what I'm saying. You want someone like that being president, Ralph? Come on, now you're with me.
I'm with you now, buddy.
You're
realize.
With Bean. Think about
I
that.
I am now, thanks
Think
to you.
Think about that.
Think about what you've done to push me to Bean's side of things. That's on you. You wear that.
Think about how fortunate you are, too, Lisa. I mean...
To what? Well, be in this room with you guys?
Yeah, you're not typing or...
getting us coffee
or anything?
I'm not barefoot,
I'm not pregnant.
Every once in a while we let you talk in the air with, like, creative control.
You're not cooking anything for us? You got the best of all your liberal friends, I'm sure.
It's going to be the one of those days I go and cry.
Yeah.
That's what we shoot for.
Speaking of shooting, listen. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rick Ocasek from The Cars is 60 years old today. Chaka Khan is 56 years old. Kerry Russell from Felicity turns 33. And Richard Grieco, he turns 44 years old today. And Psycho Mike is very happy about
that. Love.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.